the WCLT sports presentation.
Here he goes.
It's time for the high school football game of the week on K98.7. Tonight's game is brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating, Lickie Memorial Health Systems, KSEP's Auto Body and Service Center.
He's got a man open!
Trillium Farms, Mike's Roofing, and Wind Waste Innovations.
Touchdown!
This is high school football on K98.7.
From Whitefield, it's the high school football game of the week here on K98.7 as the Newark Wildcats entertain the Cruisers of Groveport. Hi, everybody. Brian Mays, Garrett Wandle. Happy to have you along on this beautiful Friday evening here in Licking County. The Newark Wildcats come in with a record of 2-1, responding last week after their loss to Mount Vernon in week two, thumping Zanesville 52-20. It's the second time in three games the Cats have scored over 50 points. They had 36 points in the second quarter on their way to a victory. Groveport comes in with a record of 0-3, but don't let that record deceive you. They have played three very good football teams, Hilliard, Bradley, Gahanna, and Big Walnut. All of them are 2-1, and the first two contests were one-score losses by counts of 17-10 and 31-24. Now, Big Walnut did put the hammer down last week, 36-10, but this is a good ball club. So, Garrett, this starts OCC Buckeye action, and while you've got a lot of league games left, you just can't put too much importance on this one for the Cats to get off to a 1-0 mark in league play.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing to look at for Newark in this one is what kind of Newark team are we going to see here? Right, are we going to see the team that put up 56 in week one, 52 last week, or are we going to see the team that lost 24-7 to Mount Vernon in week two? So it's really important for Newark, I think, to just come out focused, ready to go, because like you said, the Cruisers, their record might be 0-3, but this is a very good football team. They've had a tough schedule. But also, too, for the Cruisers, it'll be interesting to see how they come out in this game, because they've had a gauntlet of a schedule so far. Has the wear and tear already caught up with them three games into the season, or are they going to come out, you know, ready to fire here against Newark?
And you wonder who may have more confidence. You would think Newark because of their record and so forth, but Groveport has owned this series, and last year they took care of Newark 56-13 over at Groveport, so they're probably feeling, hey, we can turn our season around with a win on the road tonight here at Whitefield.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Groveport's won five straight against the Wildcats. Last time Newark defeated the Cruisers was 2017. So I'm sure, you know, Newark is, you know, really wanting win. I'm sure, like, this is probably one of the best chances they feel like they could take down this Groveport team. But like you said, too, for Groveport, they've owned this series recently. So they feel like, you know, no matter what kind of team that they have, no matter what kind of team Newark has, they kind of, you know, win the mind game, and they're going to come out and dominate this game no matter what.
And I'm interested to see what Newark wants to do on offense, and we'll get to see it first as Groveport won the toss and deferred to the second half, because on paper, Groveport has given up a lot of yards rushing. Newark likes to throw the football, but if you look at their stats, both Colton Peterson and Alex Irvin Royster are averaging over 7 yards a carry. So do you take what the defense gives you and change things up a little bit?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I always think Newark in the past, they've steered away from the rushing attack because their offensive line just didn't really have the size to compete against other teams' defensive lines. But this year, you know, we say Cam Davis, Buffalo commit, Preston Lunsford, another Buffalo commit. You got a guy on the offensive line and a big tight end target that you can use in blocking as well. You know, I would say, you know, try to establish the running attack, especially to, you know, get off to the right start.
And right now we'll have the playing of our national anthem.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll hear from Newark head football coach Bill Franks as you're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Your college experience should be built just for you, supporting everything you value most. That's why Ohio University delivers the high-quality education we're known for right here on our Zanesville campus. Whether you're a full-time student or working full-time, Ohio's affordable, flexible degrees are always in demand in our community and can take you anywhere. Earn a degree in your own backyard on your own terms and move your career and your community forever forward. Learn more at ohio.edu/Zanesville.
Score big on football Friday night at Widener's Corner Grill and Pub. Located at the intersection of Routes 37 and 256, just 8 miles south of I-70. Best breakfast around 6 a.m. daily. Fuel up with our delicious pizza, wings, and the famous Andy the Bear Burger. Enjoy daily and nightly specials before or after the game. Heading to Buckeye Lake? Swing by our drive-thru for bait, beverages, and more. Join us at Widener's Corner for a winning night.
Now, back to high school football, brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on Kate 98.7.
Coach, phase one of the regular season complete and the non-lead. You go 2-1. Your thoughts about this ball club through three contests?
Well, you know, the key is going to be to weekly mature, not put undue pressure on ourselves so that we can, quite frankly, perform and think through this very challenging schedule that's coming.
From week two to week three, what did you like about the ball club? Because everybody had a sour taste after Mount Vernon, but by that second quarter, the ship was rolling.
We made some mistakes at the end of the first quarter, and we didn't say, oh no. We just stayed calm and performed. So that was good to see.
Offensively, you knew coming in there were going to be weapons. You knew you had a senior quarterback coming back. But have you even been a little bit surprised over 50 points, two out of three games?
You know, a lot of it starts with our offensive line. And they've given Bodie a lot of time. And they've given those running backs running lanes. And they've given the receivers time to run the route. So I really have to, you know, give a lot of credit to our offensive line. And then our system. You know, Tanner Taylor, you know, our coordinator. And John Polnott, our O-line coach. You know, just do a wonderful job. Along with Jared Wolf, the tight end coach. And Granger Evans, the receivers coach, and Warren Weber, our running backs coach. It's a good group.
And I would think this team also, and we'll say on the offensive side of the ball, mentally is sharp. They understand the routes they need to do. The blocking assignments, they know what they need to do, because that only works if you're mentally into it when you score over 50.
Well, it's if you look at Division I, Division II football in Ohio, it's people take it serious, and they work at it year-round. And, you know, our guys have given a nice commitment, and we've sharpened our skills, and I think they enjoy playing, quite frankly, which is key.
So we start lead play against Groveport. Now, people are going to look at that record and say 0-3, but they played three tough ball clubs, and two out of those three games were one possession games at the end. So what can you tell us about the Cruisers?
They're weathered. They're disciplined. The old saying, you know, iron sharpens iron. They're tough. They've been battle-tested, and I'm sure they're going to come to Whitefield very hungry. Proud program there at Groveport, and we're going to have to play our dead-level best and hopefully have a close ball game there in the fourth quarter and, you know, just find a way to execute all aspects as best we can. And it's time to beat these guys. It's been a while. I think 2018, maybe.
I think that's right. And last year, it just, whatever reason, it just didn't happen. I know coaches necessarily don't look so much at revenge, but the players kind of remember that.
Well, we had a chance to go up 14, and yeah, we didn't execute a pass, and then they hit an 85-yard trap play, and instead of being up 14, you know, we're in a tie, and we just fell apart at that point. They executed, we didn't. They were poised, we pouted, and it was the only time all last year that we were disappointed in ourselves. And we're going to be playing in front of 3,000 people once again. And we owe it to our community to be calm, cool, and collected and play Wildcat football with spirit, dedication, and enthusiasm.
Thank you, Coach. Good luck.
Thank you for your support of high school sports.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Tank top, sweater, raincoat, snow parka. Which was it this morning when you left home? Hi, Chase Houston of Houston Plumbing and Heating. Ohio weather isn't predictable, but one thing sure is, York and Houston. For comfort you can count on year-round, call us today for a free estimate on an energy-efficient York heating and cooling system. When the temperature outside is up and down, York and Houston Plumbing and Heating will keep your inside cozy and comfy. Call us today at 740-763-3961. One call does it all. Ohio license number 25394.
Tired of door knockers and nonstop calls from out-of-town roofing and siding companies? You don't need strangers climbing on your roof. You need the trusted local experts. Call Mike's Roofing, serving Lincoln County for 30 years, voted best of the best in roofing and siding 5 years in a row. Mike'sRoofing.net. We handle it all from storm damage assessments to working directly with your insurance. We know the process, and we'll get it done right. If it's broken, we can fix it. Let us take care of your home like our own. Mike'sRoofing.net, and that is Mike'sRoofing.net.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating and Lickey Memorial Health Systems on Kate 98.7.
As we get ready for Newark and Groveport tonight, let's pause for station identification. This is the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week on WCLT, W254-CT Newark, K98.7.
Brian Mays, Garrett Wando, OCC Buckeye kicks off tonight here at Whitefield between the Newark Wildcats and the Groveport Cruisers, and it should be a very interesting matchup to say the least. And Garrett, I think you can even tell a little bit with Coach Franks. They want this game. They feel enough is enough. They have not done well in this series. You talked about the last win was 2017, and I think the average score in those ball games over the last 6 years have been 42-10. So it really hasn't been close. So at some point, the players have to say enough is enough.
Yeah, to elaborate that, on that, past 4 years I added up, Newark has been outscored in the past four matchups between Groveport, 182-60. So, yeah, it's not only they've been losing, but they've been losing by a big margin, right? And last year, it just added to it last year with a 56-13 loss. So I think, yeah, it's just important for Newark, too, to not let this game spiral out of control. Because last year, what, it was 7-7, and then you wouldn't have thought this game was going to, you know, end the way it did. So, you know, Newark gets the ball first. I think it's, you know, we've seen Newark get off to some hot starts the last few times we've seen them. You know, we'll see what they do. Run the ball. I feel like they like to do the short, a passing attack. So I'd expect to see that and to feel out this Groveport defense to see what will work against them.
Wildcats will get the ball. They're in their crimson jerseys with white pants. Groveport in white tops with black pants. Back deep for the Wildcats, Noah Jackson and Colton Peterson. And Groveport is ready to kick this one off. Happy to have you with us on this Friday evening. High School Football Game of the Week, John Tate 98.7. And the kickoff is boomed into the end zone. That'll be a touchback, and the Cats will start at their 20. First and 10 there. Bodie Smith coming off a real solid performance against Zanesville. 14 of 16 for 376 yards and four touchdowns. And like he did against Licking Heights in week one, five different receivers were catching footballs as well. So when he can spread it out to running backs, wide receivers, and Preston Lunsford, the tight end, this Wildcat offense is very, very tough to deal with. So first and 10 for Newark as they come out onto the field. Bodie's ready to get the play call, and he will bring his team to the line of scrimmage. First and 10, he's got trips here to the near side with Lunsford in the slot. And now Lunsford will go in motion to the far side, now back in, and he will hand it off to Irvin Royster. But before we do, we've got an infraction, and it will go against Newark. Not the way you want to start on first and 10.
Yeah, and first play of the game, too, on offense, getting a penalty is not the way you want to start out, especially, yeah, with a team that has had so much success against you over the past few seasons.
So false start. We'll move it back to the 15-yard line and first and 15 there for the Cats. And Young coming in with a record of 2-1, defeating Licking Heights week one in Zanesville last week, falling in week two here at White Field to the Yellow Jackets of Mount Vernon. Smith will go back to throw. He's got a lot of pressure, rolls out, he'll keep it. He's at the 20, and a nice slide to about the 27-yard line. So a good pickup, make that the 23-yard line, so second down and 7.
Yeah, nice job out there. Smith saw the pressure was coming, didn't force anything, just got the penalty yardage back and a little bit more on that first down.
Officially at the 24, so second down and 6 for Newark. Smith. And it's an inside handoff. Peterson with a couple of yards there. So third down and about 4 for Newark on this opening possession.
Yeah, they look like they want to play with some tempo here, trying to hurry up, get the play call in, play with some tempo, try to keep Groveport on their heels. But big third down here on this opening drive.
Third down, a short 4. Smith gets the play call in. He will send trips to the far side. One wide out here to the near side, and you have Peterson and Royster both in the backfield. Now it's just going to be Royster on this third down. Lunsford comes in motion. Smith hands it off to Royster, trying to get the corner, and he does not. Boy, that was good speed on the outside by Groveport, and they stop him because it looked from here like he was going to get enough, but they came up from the linebacker and defensive backfield to stop him short.
Yeah,
and it's fourth and 1.
Yeah, offensive line had a good push initially, but that second layer of the defense, like you said, the linebackers, the pursuit of them came in and denied the first down.
Sean Brettville. Brettville is back to punt for Newark. So that first penalty really hurt the drive to get started. Brettville averaging about 38 yards a kick. He is standing at his 15-yard line on this fourth and 1. Gets the snap. It's a good one, and he'll get it away. End-over-end kick that will be fielded at the 30, and a missed tackle, and now with a little bit of running room, trying to get to the outside, but now back into about the 35-yard line for Groveport is where they will have their opening possession. That was Tyreek Ruffin on the return for Groveport. So, Groveport gets the ball first. They will be at their 35-yard line. And I think you're right. I think Newark wanted to establish the run there. But again, when you start at first and 15, it's difficult to do so.
Yeah, I mean, that drive, we've seen it so far this year a lot. False starts, holding penalties on the offense. They're just little mistakes that cost big.
Now, Groveport will go wing T and spread. And Coach Westcamp told me, now sometimes they're a little mischievous when they speak to the media. He said he wanted to go about 50-50. They start with the spread, and they will do an inside handoff and a good first down carry for Groveport. That's Josiah Foster, and he gets across the 40 to the 43-yard line. Give him 8.
Yeah, that's a perfect way, really, to start your drive there. First down, handoff, picks up 8 yards. Really opens up the playbook here on second down. You could throw in a little trick play here. You're around midfield, too. So we'll see what the Cruisers decide to do here.
Baker Bowden is the quarterback. He's a junior. And he's in the pistol. On the second and 2, here's the handoff to Foster, and I think the surge will get him enough for the first down as they mark it at the 46, and it will be. So a first down for the Cruisers on this opening possession for the visiting team.
Yeah, just trying to establish the line of scrimmage right now is Groveport. I think, you know, we saw it on the opening drive with Newark in week 1 against Licking Heights. Had Newark on their heels a little bit on defense. They had to settle in, make adjustments, and they were able to play better defense.
Bowden looks like he's going to go under center on this first and 10 from the 46, and he does. And here's the inside handoff. Not much time available for the running back that time as the Wildcats front wall comes in and makes the tackle for no gain.
Joseph Crutchin, the ball carrier.
Joseph Crutchin was the runner, and maybe a half-yard pickup, but we'll call it second and 10.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to run on the interior for the Newark Wildcats. You got Cam Davis at the defensive tackle position and Preston Lunsford at the DN position.
Actually, a little bit better spot than I thought they were going to give him. Actually, 2 more yards, so second down and 8. Bowden again goes under center. And here's the handoff to Foster. Big hole into Newark territory and almost broke it, but he does get to the Wildcat 40-yard line, so 8 more yards and another first down.
Yeah, he got a little bit of space right there, and he got to that marker in a blink of an eye. Fortunately, Newark was able to collapse on that hole and probably save a touchdown right there.
And I guess you could call that a little wing tee setup. I mean, they have Foster in motion. It's not a full-blown wing tee, but they are using it to success right now after starting out in the spread. Bowden, here's the inside handoff and about 2 yards there on second down. But I think they're probably going to just keep running until Newark finds a way to stop them on consecutive plays.
I mean, that's what I would do if I was a Grove Fort. Keep running the football. Make Newark force you to stop you. Right now, yeah, Grove Fort just running the ball. They're just, you know, putting some guys in motion, trying to play on the eyes of that Newark defense.
Second down and 7 from the Cats' 37-yard line. Now they go back to the pistol. Bowden gets the snap. He will roll right, looking. He's got a man wide open, getting the catch inside the 30, spinning away to about the 26-yard line. That is Jahail Jackson, and that'll be another first down.
Yeah, maybe caught Newark sleeping at the wheel right there, not expecting the pass there on second down. Groveport runs it to perfection there. Receiver was wide open, able to pick up a nice, solid pickup once again.
So an impressive opening drive here by the Cruisers after the Cats went 3 and out. They are at Newark's 26-yard line, 1st and 10 there. Bowden goes back to the pistol. 2 wideouts to the far side, 1 here to the near side. He will look to throw again. Has a little bit of pressure. Can Lunsford get him? He does, and will bring him back to the 30-yard line. I was really worried about a face mask there, but I think he got him just around the shoulder pads, and that's a loss of 4.
Yeah, I was just actually getting ready to say, you know, it'd be nice to have the defense line have an opportunity to provide some pass pressure right there. Groveport got a little bit of taste of that. Preston Lunsford getting in the backfield, dropped him for a sack.
Surprised they went to the air twice that in a row there after having so much success on the ground?
Yeah. I think they're trying to maybe, you know, catch Newark off guard again there on first down because no one was probably expecting a pass, but...
So second down, 14 now for the Cruisers. They go back under center, and here's a handoff to the left side, and getting about back to the original line of scrimmage. Anthony Newell was the carrier, and we'll give him 4. So 3rd and 10 right here, probably 4-down territory back at the Cats' 26.
Yeah, I would assume so. It's 4-down territory unless you take a sack or a holding penalty or something of that nature. But so I would probably expect to see another run here for the Cruisers on 3rd down.
Well, it looks like they are going to go under center, which Bowden will do. And he really crouches under the center. And here's an inside handoff, breaking a couple of tackles and getting to the 20-yard line is Josiah Foster. So that definitely makes it a 4th down, and you can go for it at the 20, 4th and 4.
Yeah, that's probably right what they're expecting there on 3rd down. Picking up some positive yards. Make this a 4th and manageable here. So that's exactly what you have. 4th and 4, you could throw, you could run it. And Newark has to be mindful of that, too, because Groveport has thrown it twice so far on this drive.
4th and 4 from the 20. 5:15 remains opening quarter. We're scoreless. Groveport on the move. On this 4th down, here's an end around and tripped up, but staying on his feet and taking it all the way into the end zone on a house call is Anthony Newell. And just like that, Groveport on the board, 6-0. Thought the Cats had him stopped, but he broke the shoestring tackle, and he's into the end zone for 6.
Yeah, that's the shoestring tackle that would really, you know, decide if Newark is going to take over on downs or give up the 6 points. Just a tough break right there for the Cats, but Groveport, you know, executing to perfection right there on that 4th down.
So they do run it in from 20, and now looking to tack on the extra point. So 4th down and 4 all the way into the end zone. Here comes the snap for the extra point. It's down, kick on the way. It is up, and it is good. 5:03 remains, first quarter, 7-0 Groveport. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Are you tired of shops playing guessing games with your vehicle and providing mystery quotes? Yeah, so are we. This is Dan Tekin. At Craiger Tire and Service, we don't sugarcoat it. We diagnose it, fix it, and then we back it with a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. Tires, of course, but we're way past tires. Brakes, AC, check engine lights. We handle the real problems. Real work, real people, real results. Kreger Tire and Service, we're no longer just tires.
This is Chris from KSEP's Auto Body. Unfortunately, if you are involved in an accident and you make an insurance claim, you may say, hey, I want to go to KSEP's. The bill payer may have some opinions about us. They may tell you some things that aren't necessarily true. Ultimately, we have one boss. We want to serve you as the customer, and we want to do that in the best way we can. Come meet us. Get your own opinions about us. I think that you're going to trust us, and you'll be glad you did. KSEP's Auto Body in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-seps.com.
KSEP's, quality you can trust.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by KSEP's Auto Body and Service Center and Trillium Farms, here on Kate 98.7.
Kickoff goes into the end zone from Groveport, so Newark with their second offensive possession in this first quarter. 10-play, 65-yard drive for Groveport, capped off by a 20-yard touchdown run by Anthony Newell on 4th down and 4 to give Groveport the 7-0 lead. So here comes Newark with Bodie Smith at quarterback. Irvin Royster is on his left shoulder on this 1st and 10. Smith gets the snap. Hand off to Royster, trying to find something. Nothing there, and he will struggle to get back to the line of scrimmage, which he will not be able to do. Give him a loss maybe of a yard on the play, second down and 11.
Yeah, that's a tough break there on first down. Losing a yard just puts you off schedule, right? If you're able to pick up just 1 or 2 yards there, it just shrinks that yard to get the first down, opens up the playbook just a little bit.
Second down for the Cats. So you've had a first and 15 and a second and long on back-to-back offensive possessions to start this contest. Smith rolls to his right, looking to throw, fires, and nice catch made. Did he stay in bounds? I think he did, just shy of a first down. Making the catch is, I believe, it was Michael Kopacki. And it was. So Kopacki, not one of the top receivers on this team, but he's getting a few more catches each and every game. So give him about 10 there, and it's 3rd and 1. And, Garrett, they've got to convert this.
Yeah, this is a big 3rd down here for Newark, just to really try to keep control of this football game.
3rd and 1. Smith. And I think we're going to have encroachment on Groveport. A little bit of a hard count, and it will be offside against Groveport. So first down of the night for Newark, and they'll mark it up to the 34.
Oh, yeah. Better just get it that way and save us all the suspense there. So Newark uses the hard count there to their advantage to get a new set of downs, which is big.
So now they will have 1st and 10 at their 34, trailing 7-0 under 4 minutes to play, opening stanza. Two wideouts split to each side. Royster on the left shoulder of Smith. Peterson comes in motion, fake handoff, and now it's an end around to Royster. Makes a couple of men miss. Good run by Alex. He'll get it close to the first down, but a little bit misdirection right there, and the Cats are in business.
Yeah, that was a lot better run that time for Newark. They ran to the right side. I think they may have a little bit better, you know, protection on that right side. That's where Cam Davis is. He's lined up at the right tackle position. He's your big, you know, probably your best block you have in your offensive line. So I'd probably, you know, focus more towards running it behind him in this game.
2nd and 1. From the Cats, 43. Royster and Peterson are split behind Smith, and it's going to be Royster with a fake and a catch almost made by Peterson. Slant across the middle, which we've seen go for a couple of scores. That time it falls a little incomplete, and we're back to 3rd and 1.
Yeah, it does look like, too, Groveport, those defenders did their homework. They were expecting that pass, and that's something you have to be careful, too. If you're Newark, that's a really easy pass to jump and pick off, and if the defender does intercept that ball, he's going to go for 6 in the other direction.
3rd and 1 for the Cats at their 43. Smith looks over at the sidelines for the play call, and it's coming in right now. 10 seconds on the play clock. Cats trying to pick up their 2nd first down of this drive. And handoff Royster spins away and gets enough for a Cats first down up to the 46. Wasn't easy, but Alex, using his strength, gets the first down for Newark.
Yes, Travis. First down. Getting a little bit of momentum here now for the Wildcats here. They're approaching midfield.
Going through the crowd tonight, you'll know.
3:15 remains, opening quarter, 7-0 Groveport. Cats at their 46. Peterson in the backfield with Smith on this first and 10. Bodie gets the snap. Quick drop. Here's Royster with the catch. Gets a couple good blocks. 50, 45 into Groveport territory and should be enough for another Newark first down.
Yeah, that's what we saw a lot of in week one from Newark offensively. He's using those wide receiver screens for big plays. Not a huge play this time, but it was good for 10 yards and a first down. Newark will take that any day of the week.
And again, when you can split your running backs out into wide receiver positions, a lot of weapons for Bodie to use here. Royster has been the main guy so far tonight, running and now catching. But here comes Newark, first and 10 at their now Groveport 43-yard line, trailing 7-0. Smith, fake handoff, looks, throws, catch made. Kind of left little Hunt out to dry there, but making the catch. Ohan Ba Asanoe with the catch and give him 7 yards.
Yeah. Bodie left that one in there just a little bit too long right there, but still saw a pickup there about 7 yards on first down.
So second down, a short 4 for Newark at Groveport's 37-yard line. Smith, handoff Peterson. Nice cut. That should be a face mask, and the fly does come in. He was stopped short, but you could see his head get jerked back. And, oh, no, they're going to call that against Newark. A hold? Boy, that sure looked like a face mask to me.
Yeah, it looked like, something of the face mask, horse collar, something of that nature.
Illegal block in the back.
So they call a block in the back.
Block in the back, I guess.
Wow, if anything, and that may have happened, but that probably should have been fouls on both ball clubs.
Right. Yeah, it would have been offsetting replay the down. Now, you're way back.
Yeah, back to the 48. Coach Franks had a lengthy conversation with the sideline official. I'm sure he saw what at least we thought we saw. Minute 35 remains, opening quarter. Franks now will say, hey, let's throw the ball, and Bodie does to Lunsford, and he will get to the 39-yard line, so getting some of the penalty yardage back, so I guess we'll call it third down and about 5. I think it's 4 down territory. Actually, it is 3rd down and 5.
Yeah, it probably is. Unless, you take a sack here. Probably is 4 down territory. But nice job there on 2nd down, though. Just trying to get back some of those penalty yards so that it is a manageable 3rd down for you here.
At the 39 of Groveport. 3rd down, 5 for the Cats. And official stop play. And they're going to have a conversation. Looks like 3 of them in there. I think they were talking about the down. We have it as 3rd down. But now they're going to move it to 2nd down. Okay, we'll take that. Now
it's back.
Coach Westcamp's going to say, wait a minute. So the officials are saying 2nd down. The yard marker is saying 3rd down. There's definitely not on the same page at the moment, but I think the chain gang is right.
I think they are, too, because so you had 1st down. They picked up the 6-7 yards there. And then 2nd down was the block in the back. They replayed 2nd down, 2nd and 14. They just replayed that. They picked up the pass to Lunsford. So, it's 3rd down.
I think so. But once again, they have not asked me for my opinion.
Yeah.
So, Newark's going to huddle up. Both teams are going to hub. This is actually quite a lengthy conversation.
Well, they're probably doing what I just did, right? One of them has to, you would think one of them could recite that, right? They're watching the same game as us.
I would think so.
All they got to do is recite that real quick, right?
Well, they're Yeah, both teams are huddling up. They're really taking their time.
Maybe they should full meeting here, because
half of them are talking about it. The other half are like, figure it out, guys. So let's see what they've come up with. I think he's still putting up two fingers. But the yard marker still says, here we go. So now they're saying second down. Groveport coaches are not happy.
Well, I don't blame them there.
That is bizarre. So I guess we'll kind of say extra down here for the Cats.
It's
Smith. Rolls to his right a little bit, now scrambling a little bit more. He's in a lot of trouble. He's back to midfield, tries to keep it, and he will, and get out of bounds. I think about the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Maybe got an extra yard there, but we'll say it's third down and four now.
Yeah, same situation pretty much, just had to do a little bit more running down there.
So he runs out of bounds on the right sideline. And actually, they're going to give him two more yards, so it's down to the 36, so it's third and a long two for the Cats here. So, see what Newark decides to do on this critical third down. Trips here to the near side. One wide out to the far side. Irvin Royster is on the left shoulder of Smith on this third down. Bodie to throw. He's got pressure. Fires Peterson. Avoids one tackle. 35-30. 25. Wide on the play.
Yeah.
So he'll get down to the 25, but I think it's going to be a personal or a foul against Groveport. I thought it was going to be against Newark.
That's what I thought, too.
Is this April Fool's?
I don't know.
Did I miss something?
Like, yeah, it looked like the defensive back. Okay, now
they are saying.
So what was it? I don't know. What's this? That's the LA game, I thought. That's signal.
Coach French is not happy. I have no idea. I have no idea what that call is. And
it
where they're
a,
marking, I mean, that's not where the foul.
I mean,
yeah. It marks it all the way back to the 50, and that flag was thrown at the 30.
Well,
what is going on here, my friend?
Interesting one here tonight at Whitefield.
A minute to play first quarter, so the Cats now third and about 17. They do a little screen to Royster, and it's not a good throw, and it falls incomplete. This is a drive. Just up and down, a lot of different things. Coach Frank's trying to keep the team motivated because that has to be a little deflating. It looked like you had a first and 10 at about the 22-yard line, and it ends up being fourth and 17 from midfield.
Well, yeah, you had the free down,
you
too.
Did.
And then we don't know what the call was. I thought it was just going to be holding. That's what it looked like. Some sort of personal foul, which backed up completely. And then, that penalty completely killed the drive for Newark.
Brett built a punt. End over end punt. Good high kick. Fair catch called for at the 15. And then the Newark player runs into him. But they may say it was too late of a fair catch signal. There's no flag yet. I mean, he was hit. It wasn't a big hit by any stretch. But I'm wondering if they're going to say that
here
was
we
too
gonna,
late. And we're going to have another conversation.
Again,
This is week four, not week one.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
No call, 15-yard line.
Feels like it's week one.
Because I was almost thinking, was that an engagement like a block in the top and a block below.
I'm guessing.
That,
I don't know.
And that would be a personal foul.
Well, that's probably what it was.
Because then that would not be from the spot of the infraction. It would be from the line of scrimmage,
yeah.
Which would make sense for midfield. All right. Let's move along. First and 10, Groveport at their 15. Handoff and about a yard pickup on that first down play. So Groveport maintains the 7-0 lead and now has the ball. Positive thing now for the Cats, at least offensively, Irvin Royster and Peterson are getting in the open field, and they both are very difficult to bring down when that happens. 2-yard pickup, 2nd and 8 for Groveport at their 17. Probably will be the final play of this first quarter. Bowden goes under center. And Royster comes in motion, and it's an inside handoff, and a good pickup should be enough for a first down. And it will be across the 26-yard line. So first down there for Groveport. Quarter comes to an end. Cruisers lead the Cats 7-0 on the High School Football Game of the Week on K98.7.
Folding a fitted sheet. Programming the thermostat. Matching your socks. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your home doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things. Like finding that missing sock. That's simple human sense.
Visit Hummel's Newark office right off the downtown square or online at hummelgrp.com.
This is Chris from KSEP's Auto Body. Unfortunately, if you are involved in an accident and you make an insurance claim, you may say, hey, I want to go to KSEP's. The bill payer may have some opinions about us. They may tell you some things that aren't necessarily true. Ultimately, we have one boss. We want to serve you as the customer, and we want to do that in the best way we can. Come meet us. Get your own opinions about us. I think that you're going to trust us, and you'll be glad you did. KSEP's Auto Body in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-seps.com.
KSEP's, quality you can trust.
Now, back to high school football, brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on K98.7.
We start the second quarter, first and 10, Groveport up 7-0. They have the ball at their 27-yard line after picking up a first down to end the quarter. And here's an inside handoff, and again, breaking a couple of tackles and spinning away and getting a first down. A flag comes in very late, probably against Groveport. Jahiel Jackson had enough easily for a first down up to the 40, but I think, and let's just hold on, I think it's coming back.
Can't be too sure today.
No, you cannot.
I think you're right, though. Looks like a block in the back.
Boy, they're liking that call.
They are. They're liking the block in the back tonight.
So that will be marked back to the 26-yard line and make it first down and 11.
Yeah, it was towards the end of the play. Didn't really need to happen.
Not
there.
At all.
Yeah, you had the first down. Yeah. Kind of a mental mistake there by the Cruisers.
Well, you can kind of tell this game is important for both ball clubs. It's just kind of an inconsistent, not a lot of flow, because they both want this one so badly. Newark trying to get to 3-1, and Groveport looking for their first win on this 2025 campaign. Here's the inside handoff, and again, Garrett, Groveport is breaking tackle after tackle, and that's a problem.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Newark having a hard time tackling. The first guy that gets to the ball carrier, not able to bring him down, that's something I'm sure, you know, that Newark sideline is stressing that, you know, we need to bring him down. You know, the yards after contact are a lot right now, and that's what's kind of been fueling these drives for the Cruisers.
And what makes me even more concerned about it, if they're breaking tackles in this first half, what's going to happen when you're tired in half number
right.
two? It's enough for a first down for Groveport at the 37-yard line, first and 10 there. And here's a fake handoff. Bowden looking to throw. He's got pressure, and he will go down. A huge sack for the Cats. Roy Price coming in untouched. And I don't want to be critical. That ball should be marked at the 25. They marked it at the 28, and I understand progress, but he knocked him back at the 25. Nevertheless, it's a huge loss for Groveport.
Yeah, that's a play that the Wildcats defense desperately needed. Huge right there. It should kill this drive here for the Cruisers. But second and 19, Newark just got to really try to keep everything in front of them and force a third and long.
Boy, what a nice play by Roy Price coming off the end. And that was a good, solid tackle. We've been looking for it. Price delivered right there. Second down, 19. Bowden now goes to the gun, and because we've had a couple plays without one, it's time now for a flag, looks like, delay a game against the Cruisers. High school football scoreboard show tonight. Mark Bruce, Lee Waller, 9-11 on our sister station, T100. All the scores from around our listening area, they'll have them for you. Calls coming in as well, giving reports as the big games are starting to happen. Lead play is getting underway. Starting to look at those computer points. High school football scoreboard show, 9-11. Mark and Lee on T100. Second and now 24 for Groveport. Bowden, quick drop, looks, fires, catch made, and a good tackle across the 30 to the 31-yard line. Keelan Darby on the catch for Groveport. They'll mark it at the 32, but still third and long for the Cruisers.
Yeah, just trying to pick up some of those penalty and sack yards there on second down, but it's still going to be third and very long here for the Cruisers. But first time that they're in a situation like this, it's an obvious passing situation, so we'll see if Newark maybe brings an extra man here in pressure.
Third down, Bowden in the gun, quick drop, looks, little wide receiver screen, and the ball is fumbled, and Newark recovers at the 35-yard line. Jack Kopachi gets the fumble, and the Cats are in business at Groveport's 35. First turnover of the game.
Yeah, and that's a good way to get this team and this crowd back into the game here. Much needed big defensive play there for the Wildcats. They're set up with great field position now. And now set up at the Groveport 35-yard line. Got to find a way to turn that turnover into points.
Good job by the defense there with a huge sack, and then you get the fumble recovery. So here's the opportunity for Newark's offense. Down 7-0 here in the second quarter. First and 10 at Groveport's 35-yard line. Smith, and it's a handoff inside. Peterson with a couple of yards, not a lot there, but again, at least it's moving forward, not backward on first down.
Right, yeah, just about a yard and a half, maybe 2 yards there on first down, but yeah, get a little bit of yards there on first down, you stay on schedule. You're going to have to more than likely, you know, throw the ball through the air here if you're Newark. Running the football has been a bit of a struggle for him so far in this first half.
So second down and 8 for the Cats at Groveport's 33-yard line. Smith has got split bats behind him on the second down. Bad snap, ball on the ground. Who gets it? Still on the ground. Groveport's got it. So you get the opportunity, and I think the snap just didn't quite get back to Bodie.
Yeah, it was a low snap, and then Bodie just couldn't get his hands on it, and it looked like he did fall back on the ball. He must have slipped out, and just like that, I mean, they're giving the ball right back to Groveport about right where they lost it. So that's a tough break there for the Wildcats.
So back-to-back turnovers, basically, just one play in between them, and Groveport at their 40, up 7-0 with 8.5 minutes to play before halftime. Can the defense make a stand once again? Bowden in the gun. Inside handoff, and 3-yard pickup there on first down for Foster.
Foster, the ball carrier, out to the 44-yard line.
And it seems like, you know, the way this game's been going here in the first half, both teams have 3 penalties, both teams have a turnover, bit of a sloppy game so far. It seems like whatever team can, you know, limit the penalties, really, I'd say, is going to be the team to pull away in this one.
Second down and 6 for Groveport at their 44. Cruisers up 7-0. First game of the OCC Buckeye this evening here at Whitefield. Bowden in the gun. Gets the snap. He's got pressure up the middle. He'll lose a couple guys and will get across midfield to the Newark 49. That'll be enough for a Cruiser first down.
Yeah, that time Bowden saw no one was open. Didn't waste any time. Tucked it. Picked up the first down. Got into Newark territory.
So at the 49 of the Cats, first and 10, Groveport. Up 7-0. Couple substitutions coming in for Newark's defensive front. Bowden will remain in the gun here. 2 wide receivers split to the near side, 1 to the far side. He's got Foster in the backfield with him. He is looking deep. Nobody open. So now he's going to run, and he's got a lot of running room. Goes down to the 35. He slides down. And they'll start, probably mark him where he started his slide, which would be at the 37. Still enough, 12-yard pickup, another first down.
And it looks like I think Newark's going to probably have to designate a spy for Bowden and back-to-back quarterback scrambles for a first down.
So now at Newark's 37-yard line, Groveport on the move at 6:50. Second quarter, up 7-0. So Newark's defense was able to get a fumble in Groveport territory, but then the Newark offense gave it right back, and here come the Cruisers. Bowden, pocket collapses, and Price gets him again. Price and Lunsford both in there. Another sack, which I think is their third one of the night. So the defense doing what they can right now. That's a loss of 5, second and 15.
Yeah, the defensive line's done a good job of providing pressure whenever Bowden does decide to drop back and pass. That time kind of got stuck in there. It looked like a pinball machine bouncing off of Newark defenders at his own offensive line. Nowhere to go that time. Newark completely surrounding him and a sack there, which hopefully can help him get off the field here, though. Second down, about 15, though, for the Cruisers.
Bowden stays in the gun. Low snap. He handles it. And a wide receiver screen that was short hop. So it'll fall incomplete. So we always talk about third down being big, but it's big here for the Cats to not allow Groveport to capitalize on that turnover.
Yeah, and you're in a great situation here if you're Newark, too.
You blitz or play zone?
I would say you can rush 5 here. At least rush 4. Really, you've had great success just rushing 4, and more than likely, it's just going to be a screen or a short little pass here, so you don't want to bring too much pressure. You can get burnt.
Third and 15 for Groveport at the Cats 42. Bowden, inside handoff, and good pickup to the 35. So he'll be down there. So that's going to be fourth down and about 8, way out of field goal range for both Groveport and the Cleveland Browns. So I think you go for it here on fourth down.
Yeah.
You knew that was coming.
Yep.
You knew it was coming. So I think they're going to go for it here unless they do a quick kick. They're going to take their time. They plenty of time on the play clock. So here they go. At least lining up to go for it on 4th and 8 from Newark's 35. Bowden in the pistol. And he will look to throw. Got some pressure. He goes down in the backfield, and the Cats take over. 4:59 remains, second quarter, 7-0 Groveport on the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Cheering on your team takes a lot of energy. So when you need to fuel up, either before the game or because you left it all on the field, Bummies on Main is a special place. Lincoln County's favorite local spot is right around the corner from White Field. It's your home for handcrafted burgers, fresh cut fries, cold drinks, pizza, salads, and subs. Eat in or carry out. You'll always be treated like a regular at Bummies. Oh, you'll be back. Follow Bummies on Facebook for daily specials. Bummies on Main. Come hungry, leave happy.
Just like our local teams dominate the field, WinWaste Innovations dominates waste removal. They tackle your toughest disposal challenges with championship-level service for homes and businesses. From residential pickup to commercial solutions, they're the all-pro team you can trust. Score big with reliable local service that keeps our community clean. Visit win-waste.com or call 866-WIN-WASTE. And good luck to all our area teams this season. Go get that win!
This is the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating and Lincoln Memorial Health Systems on Kate 98.7.
5-yard pickup on first down for the Cats. They're at their 43-yard line on this second down. Inside handoff, Peterson. Good, strong run. He will take it close to the first down marker. We'll see. Yep, it's enough for a Cats first down just inside midfield.
Yeah, one of the better runs so far that Newark's had tonight. And looking at the clock, a little over 4 minutes to go. Plenty of time to, you know, still run their offense however they would like. Ideally here for the Wildcats, you would want to, you know, burn the clock as low as you can and try to tie this game up before halftime, not get the ball back to the Cruisers before half.
Just shy of midfield for Newark, 1st and 10 for the Cats, trailing 7-0. Smith. Here's the handoff to Peterson. Boy, I really liked his cuts. Again, that didn't look like much was happening, but he gets 5 to the Groveport 45.
Yeah, nice pickup that time by Peterson. Once again, He's had some solid runs so far in this game when not a lot of space has been made for him. The offensive line, it hasn't had a making huge holes for him, but he's been making do with what he's been getting.
Want to give credit to Preston Lunsford for that sack as well on fourth down before we took the break. So he and Price doing a great job defensively tonight for Newark. Second and five at Groveport's 45. Smith scrambling around a little bit, fires, nice throw, and the catch is made. Kopachi once again, and he will have a first down inside the Groveport 35 to the 34-yard line, first and 10.
Yeah, a pair of players collided back there in the back road. Had me worried for a little bit right there, but Smith was able to find his receiver wide open. Nice, solid throw that time, and Newark now getting closer and closer to that red zone here now.
At Groveport's 33, first and 10. Peterson and Lunsford come out here to the near side. Urban Royster is with Smith in the backfield. Bodie to throw. He is looking long. He's got Peterson, and it's incomplete, out of bounds along the sideline. And Peterson really hoping he was going to catch it. I'm not sure if he would have been in bounds had he caught it, but it does fall to the wayside, second and 10.
Yeah, that's just your ideal though throw. Though you want to throw that, where only your receiver can catch
right.
It, where the out of reach from the defender. So, it was a nice little shot play on first down. Peterson did beat his defender, but the pass just wasn't quite on the mark for him to make the play in bounds.
And I like the call, but you've got to make sure you get something positive on this second down so you don't have a third and long. Second and 10 from Groveport's 33. Smith. And handoff to Royster on the left side. Breaks two tackles and a good run by Alex inside the 30 to about the 29. That looked like it was not going to gain much either, but Irvin Royster using his strength.
Yeah, breaking a couple yards there, or breaking a couple tackles for some extra yards. And sure, Newark will try to bleed this clock down as much as they can in case they aren't to turn this ball over on downs.
Coming up on 2 minutes remaining before halftime, 7-0 Groveport. It is third and six for the Cats at the Cruiser 29. Smith, handoff Peterson, nothing doing. Groveport was ready for that, and timeout Newark. We'll take one as well. 1:48 to go, 7-0 Groveport on the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Trillium Farms, one of the leading egg producers in the country, located near Johnstown, is hiring. If you're looking for a flexible, friendly, team-oriented work environment, we want you on our team. We're hiring maintenance technicians with industrial or agriculture backgrounds. Pay is $22.50 to $30 an hour based on experience with a very competitive benefits package. View our current job openings or apply online at versova.com. VERSOVA.com. Trillium Farms is an equal opportunity employer.
Tired of door knockers and nonstop calls from out-of-town roofing and siding companies? You don't need strangers climbing on your roof. You need the trusted local experts. Call Mike's Roofing, serving Licking County for 30 years, voted best of the best in roofing and siding 5 years in a row. Mike'sRoofing.net. We handle it all from storm damage assessments to working directly with your insurance. We know the process, and we'll get it done right. If it's broken, we can fix it. Let us take care of your home like our own. Mike'sRoofing.net. And that is Mike's Roofing.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Kasep's Auto Body and Service Center and Trillium Farms, here on Kate 98.7.
Fourth down, the Cats are going for it, and the pass is intercepted by Groveport. There is a flag on the play at the 26-yard line. Let's see what the call is. Groveport picked it off at the 20. As Bodie was just trying to make a play, nothing really there, and it is against Newark. So Groveport will take over after the INT on fourth down and six.
Yeah, just kind of nothing going for you on that fourth down for Newark. The protection broke down. Bodie was scrambling, just had to get rid of it. And the coverage in the secondary, too, is pretty much spot on. I mean, it's fourth down. You just got to throw it up. And actually, it's better than throwing an incompletion or taking a sack there. You actually do pin them down about 10 yards.
So the Cruisers up 7-0. They have all three of their timeouts, and they've got a minute 40 to work with. So Newark's second time, actually third time, no, second time in Groveport territory and unable to come up with points. So Cruisers first and 10 at their 20. Bowden rolls right, looking downfield, fires, and that pass almost intercepted at the Cruiser 45-yard line, but it falls incomplete, second down and 10.
Yeah, dangerous pass there on first down. Kind of shocked he didn't throw that one. I mean, Groveport did defer, so they do get the ball to start the second half, so there's not a ton of pressure on you to score right here. You would like to if you're Groveport, but the way this game's been going, it's going to be a low-scoring game. I mean, you'll see what you get here on second down. If you don't pick up much here on second down, I just try to burn this clock, head to the locker room. You're up 7-0, you get the ball to start off the second half.
So the clock does stop, and Newark does have two timeouts left. So we'll see what the Cruisers do here on second and 10. They stay in the pistol, and looks like Groveport's going to call a timeout, so they will. And Coach Franks trying to get his defense fired up, knowing if they make a stop here,
yep,
you've got a chance before the break.
And it's kind of interesting, too, in these, like, two-minute drills or these under-two-minute situations before half where you're on defense and say, you know, Groveport runs it for no gain here on second down. I don't like calling a timeout if you're at the defense yet, because more times than not, I feel like it backfires.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it just gives a spark to the offense, and the offense goes down, gets a field goal or touchdown. So, I mean, you got to be careful here, I think, if you're Newark, when to use your timeouts, depending on what happens here on the second down.
93 seconds to go before halftime. Both teams back out on the field, second and 10, Groveport. Bowden gets the snap. It'll be a toss. Foster looking to make something happen. Boy, he broke about five tackles and will get a first down. He was hit twice behind the line of scrimmage but was able to break free, and that is a mammoth first down for Groveport.
Yeah, that is. I mean, it looks like he was going to be dropped for a loss, right? And that's right what Newark was wanting. Instead, yeah, like you said, he broke probably about five tackles there and somehow gets a first down.
Moves it out to the Cruiser 31, first and 10 there, clock running. Coming up on a minute 5, second quarter. Bowden now will look to throw. Got pressure, and a flag comes down. He also goes down behind the line of scrimmage. I think it was Lunsford again who got him. It was. And I'm guessing hold, and it is. I think I declined this since it's second down and long.
Well,
holding the call against the
I don't want to give them another play. I understand it's going to be deep. I mean, either way, you're probably right.
I don't hate accepting it here, right, because Groveport isn't a huge play offense. Right? They're going to be primarily, you know, short passes, running the football. You kind of are giving up your chances of getting the ball before halftime. You just don't want to see Groveport, you know, put any more points on the board.
Right. 58 seconds. Then they need to start the clock, and they do. Down to 50 seconds. Bowden will hand it off to Foster. He broke another tackle, but finally was gang tackled there. And the clock will continue to run as we come up on 35 seconds. Boy, that pickup on second down was just a big one.
Yeah, it pretty much sealed any chance that Newark had of getting the ball before halftime. And now, yeah, you don't have to snap it again here if you're Groveport, if you don't want to, before heading to the locker room.
Yep, but a 3-second difference, so looks like they're just going to take their sweet time, as they should. And that's the way this first half will come to an end. Well, I thought there'd be a few more points, but nevertheless, it's just a one-score game as we come to the break, and it is 7-0 in favor of Groveport. We will come back and recap this first half after a timeout as you're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Dutch's Convenience Stores, your one stop for food made fresh daily. The coldest drinks, freshly brewed coffee, and all the snacks you crave. Plus, join Crown Card Rewards and save 10 cents per gallon of gas. Then earn rewards every time you fuel up or shop at any Dutch's location.
To join or learn more, visit any Dutchess location or mydutchess.com. Dutchess, your locally owned and operated hometown convenience store.
This is Chris from KSF's Auto Body. Unfortunately, if you are involved in an accident and you make an insurance claim, you may say, hey, I want to go to KSF's. The bill payer may have some opinions about us. They may tell you some things that aren't necessarily true. Ultimately, we have one boss. We want to serve you as the customer, and we want to do that in the best way we can. Come meet us. Get your own opinions about us. I think that you're going to trust us, and you'll be glad you did. KSF's Auto Body in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-seps.com.
KSF's, quality you can trust.
Proformance Archery is the archer's number one destination for equipment, supplies, and service. Whether you pull a traditional bow, a compound, or a crossbow, they have the selection, best prices, and experienced service you've been looking for. They carry brands like Matthews Point, Bowtech, Darton, Bear, Mission, 10 Point, and Raven. Plus, they have indoor and outdoor ranges to keep you on target. Proformance Archery, 2984 Mount Vernon Road, just 2 miles north of Newark on State Route 13.
Trillium Farms, one of the leading egg producers in the country, located near Johnstown, is hiring. If you're looking for a flexible, friendly, team-oriented work environment, we want you on our team. We're hiring maintenance technicians with industrial or agriculture backgrounds. Pay is $22.50 to $30 an hour based on experience with a very competitive benefits package. View our current job openings or apply online at versova.com. V-E-R-S-O-V-A.com. Trillium Farms is an equal opportunity employer.
Now, back to high school football, brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on K98.7.
Halftime here at Whitefield. Groveport leads Newark 7-0 in the opener of OCC Buckeye play. Newark got the ball first and went three and out. Groveport then got the ball and pretty solid drive down the field. It stalled at the 20, but on fourth down and four, a little end around goes into the end zone. Extra point is good. And that's the only scoring that we've had in this first half. And I guess you could look at a lot of different things. Turnovers, Newark had a couple. Penalties, both teams had a few. And maybe it's just good defense. I'll let you make the decision on that.
I'd say probably a little bit of everything you just said, right? I mean, penalties definitely think were drive killers in that first half for both of these teams. Groveport with four, Newark with three, and they were just, you know, big penalties too. You know, personal fouls, holdings, block, lots of blocks in the back in that first half. And it really comes down to, you know, how these teams did on fourth down. Groveport got it. Converted their fourth down and went in for a touchdown. Newark threw an interception on their fourth down conversion, right? So that's pretty much the only thing that separates both these teams. Both these teams having trouble on third downs and just really, I'd say, consistently moving the ball down the field. Both teams want to run the football. I'd say Groveport has had better success so far in this one. But both teams defensively haven't been tackling great. Both teams, you know, running backs able to break some tackles, but that Newark defensive line has made things very difficult whenever Groveport decided to drop back and pass. What, three sacks already in that first half? So, and they really aren't even bringing pressure. It's really just four-man rush most of the time. They may bring a fifth guy, but whenever Groveport does decide to drop back and pass, it's been a very tough time for them.
And I guess I would be surprised if, I know you want balance, but your running game has been pretty successful. I would think they'd want to do more of that in the second half. And for the Cats, you had the statement before we started this game. Which team are we going to see? The one that's put over 50 or the one that had seven against Mount Vernon? Now, again, I think the opponent has something to do with that, but it just seems like the explosiveness has just not been there. But maybe that's a good job by Groveport looking at film and taking stuff away from the Cats' offense.
Yeah, I think they have done a good job looking at film. Newark really liked those screen passes in week one. That was a big reason why they were able to jump up 42-0 at halftime against Heights. The screen passes have worked somewhat in this first half, but they've been limited. You're only, you know, 6, 7, 10 yard gains, nothing big. And Groveport's been getting inching closer and closer to jumping those routes. So Newark has to be careful, you know, particularly Bodie Smith. You know, if that play's called, you see the defender, you know, basically running at full speed. to not throw that pass, or that's going to be going for a pick six. You could also use that to your advantage, too, if you're Newark. You know, maybe a fake screen, have the defender oversell, have your receiver just going to go route for a big play. But Newark has to be careful with that. And then on the flip side, Grofort seems to be running this, it's like a receiver in motion coming out of the backfield. He hands off to the running back and like fake pitches it to the guy in motion. He hasn't pitched it yet in that first half. They've just been kind of reinforcing that, you know, just the handoff. So I'm sure Newark has to be on the lookout for that too, because Grofort's going to eventually pitch it out to that receiver going in motion, and they have to be ready for when he does, or it's going to result in a big play.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think both teams may try to hit a home run at some point in the second half just to try to loosen up the defenses, because they're scheming well, and they're doing enough. I guess you could say the bend but not break. Both teams have moved the ball. I mean, 7-0, you'd think we'd have more than one punt, but that's all we've had in the first half. So you would tend to think one of the offenses is going to try to hit it. And if it's Groveport, if they go up two scores, that's going to be a challenge against this Cruiser defense, I think.
Yeah, their defense is it's been very tough to move the ball on. Their coverage, their pass rush, their ability to stop the run, just their pursuit too. Whenever, you know, the ball carrier does find a hole, or the receiver does catch the ball, or, you know, Smith is rolling out, the pursuit of the defenders has been very, very elite in that first half. So yeah, Groveport definitely has some athletes. This is probably the best team that Newark has faced so far this season, and it's been a test for them. And I think for Newark it's important too, because Groveport does receive the second half kickoff, is to not let the Cruisers get a two-score lead, because that, in a game like this, you know, where you think it's going to be low-scoring, you never know what's going to happen, but it just feels like it's going to be a low-scoring type of game. Newark can't afford to go down, you know, two possessions.
Right now, let's pause for station identification. This is the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week on WCLT, W254-CT Newark, K98.7.
7-0, Groveport leads Newark. Our halftime continues with tonight in Ohio High School Football with Skip Mazick from the Ohio News Network.
From the Ohio News Network, this is the Ohio Education Association Tonight in High School Football. Named best sports program in the country by the National Association of State Radio Networks. Tonight in High School Football is presented by Bex Hybrids and by Ohio for Responsible Gambling. Now here's your host, Skip Mossick.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Tonight in High School Football's Halftime Report. We have seen some news regarding some high-profile transfers over the years, and this year is no exception. But what are the rules? We'll discuss with Tim Streed of the OHSAA next on the Ohio News Network.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At Bex, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. Bex honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, in every season.
Friday night, Under the Lights reminds us teamwork, dedication, and community start in our schools. I'm Ohio Education Association President Jeff Wenson, and on behalf of the OEA's 120,000 members, we are proud to sponsor tonight's game and even prouder to support our public schools. Whether it's touchdowns or textbooks, success starts with a strong foundation. From the classroom to the end zone, we believe in every student's potential, because in Ohio, public education matters.
Time for sports and Hex Wrenchman.
We've seen numerous rushing penalties as players hurry into New Lex Hardware to get everything they need to sweep up this season. We're sure to see the defense get raked and bagged as the offense makes nothing but house calls. Victory this season is sealed with brand new caulk and in-store experts on hand to coach you on your projects. Get everything you need for a winning season at New Lex Hardware.
Tired of door knockers and nonstop calls from out-of-town roofing and siding companies? You don't need strangers climbing on your roof. You need the trusted local experts. Call Mike's Roofing, serving Lincoln County for 30 years, voted best of the best in roofing and siding 5 years in a row. MikesRoofing.net. We handle it all from storm damage assessments to working directly with your insurance. We know the process, and we'll get it done right. If it's broken, we can fix it. Let us take care of your home like our own. MikesRoofing.net. And that is MikesRoofing.net.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating and Lincoln Memorial Health Systems on KATE 98.7.
This is Tonight in High School Football on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Skip Mossick.
We are presented by Bex Hybrids. At Bex, they are and will remain farmers at heart. And welcome back, everyone. Halftime of your game. We are joined this evening by Tim Streed, Director of Information Services with the Ohio High School Athletic Association. You know, and Tim, we will occasionally hear stories about high school transfers. There are obviously rules in place to keep an eye on things in regards to the transfer of high school athletes. Can you share with people what rules are in place and I guess what families probably need to be aware of if they're considering a move to another district or another change of school that might impact their high school son or daughter's eligibility?
Sure. Hey, Skip, great to be with you again. Thanks for having me on. And you're right that, you know, transfers are definitely in the news again, especially right now. And it's such a prominent part of college sports now. It's much more prominent at the college level, but certainly there are always a number of transfers at the high school level too. The most common transfer, of course, is family moves from town A to town B. That's the most common one, and almost all of those are approved. But there are, of course, a number that do not get approved. And the ones that don't get approved are when the transfer was for athletic purposes. That is a function of our office, of our eligibility and compliance department, which is a lot smaller than the NCAA, but we do our best. And essentially, our schools have voted into place a set of bylaws that govern that. And we have staff that work through that with our member schools. When there is a transfer, there is paperwork that comes into our office, and then we take it from there. But certainly, our goal is that students, unless their family needs to move, our goal is that students stay at their high school and compete there. You know, a lot of transferring is, well, it's not good for college athletics either. I guess that's a whole nother conversation, but we don't think it's great for high school sports either.
Well, Tim, I'm sure it's a case-by-case basis, but roughly how many transfers are generally approved with no issue, and I guess are kids able to play at all if there is one?
Yeah, good question. You know, there on an average year, there's more than 1,000 transfers. And again, most of those are because the family has moved to a different town. So, you know, in fact, I think last year there were even 1,300 transfers. It seems like a lot. It seems like a big number, but it's really not. I mean, keep in mind that we have 818 high schools. So, really 1,300 transfers, that's less than two per school. So, you know, it's really not a lot. The transferring paperwork takes a bit of a time, meaning a couple of weeks to work through in our office. We do talk to the schools involved, but if a student does not meet one of the exceptions, that student can still play the first half of the season. In the case of football, the student could play the first five games, but then they would have to sit out the rest of the season. And that is actually a lesser penalty than what it had been for a long time. It used to be that a student would sit out the whole season, but now it's just the second half of the season. And, you know, the vast majority of transfers are approved. I think 85% of the transfer applications do get approved. And, again, that points back to the common transfer where a family moves to another town. That is the majority. 85% of those get approved. That remaining 15%, that's where we really have to do some digging. Sometimes those are high profile cases too. I think every year there is either a court case or a lengthy deliberation on some of them. So that definitely does take some time.
And Tim, having gone to a Catholic school, I know the answer to this one, but how much more complicated does it become when kids transfer from a public to a private school?
that does make it more complicated, for sure. You know, and one thing I will say is the other way around is the easy one. If a student starts their high school career at a non-public school, they can always go back to their local public school. That's the easy one. You can always have a one-time transfer out. Going the other way around, a little more complicated.
Tim Streed with the Ohio High School Athletic Association. Tim, we always appreciate your time, okay?
Sounds good, Skip. Thanks for having me on.
And we'll be back on the Ohio News Network.
Bex recognizes this week's player with heart, Christopher Kinsey from Cardington Lincoln High School, for his commitment and passion on the field and within the farming community.
I mean, I've been playing with these kids since I was in fifth grade, so you kind of build like a brotherhood and like the camaraderie that you have, not just about the game, just like kind of life itself, you know, responsibility, knowing where to be. Resilience is a big one too. I feel like I've gained from it.
Lessons in football, lessons in FFA.
You know, the things I learned, and I knew that I wanted to have a bit, like, hopefully maybe an ag background in my life. You know, I've showed livestock since I was, you know, very young, and so it was just kind of a given.
And of course, the importance of agriculture.
There's family generation farms that, you know, that's their whole life, you know, and agriculture, I mean, that's the stuff that brings your community around. Yeah, I think it's just the most important thing ever. I mean, people underestimate it.
At Bex, we are and will remain farmers at heart.
Lucart Heating and Cooling has the experience, knowledge, professionalism, and quality service you'd expect from a Lennox Premier dealer. This earned distinction means you'll receive outstanding installation, maintenance, and service on your home's heating and cooling system. Call Lucart Heating and Cooling at 740-344-5497 and ask about rebates, or visit LucartHeating.com to learn more about how we can make your home's comfort perfect. Ohio License 38151. Comfort is everything, and at Rent-to-Own, comfort is easy to bring home. Right now, you could win up to $150 off your next rental by playing Spin to Win on our website. We've got brand-name furniture like Ashley, the latest iPhones and iPads, washers and dryers that make life simple, and more. Stock is going fast, and this deal ends September 30th, so don't wait. Shop in-store or online at r2o.com. No purchase necessary.
Listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Kasep's Auto Body and Service Center and Trillium Farms, here on Kate 98.7.
This is ONN.
Our thanks again to Tim Streed with the Ohio High School Athletic Association for joining us tonight. Enjoy the second half of your ball game. I'm Skip Mossick on the Ohio News Network.
This has been the Ohio Education Association Tonight in High School Football, presented by Vex Hybrids and by Ohio for Responsible Gambling, from the Ohio News Network.
Volunteering is a great way to stay active and engaged in your community. Lickey Memorial Hospital will host the Polly Mitchin Volunteer Recruitment Event on Tuesday, September 30th from 3 to 4:30 p.m. in the John and Mary Alford Pavilion. Attendees can talk with current volunteers to learn about the vital role that volunteers play in providing support and comfort to patients and visitors. For more information, contact the volunteer office at 220-564-4084.
Veterans, you are appreciated. And the Licking County Veterans Service Commission invites you to the Veteran Appreciation Picnic Saturday at Ye Olde Mill, Route 13 in Utica, from 11 to 2. Games, fishing, great food provided by the Licking County Cattlemen's Association, and of course, that delicious velvet ice cream. Fishing poles not needed in Velvet's catch and release ponds. We got them. And the bait, too. Saturday, 1100 to 1400. Ye Olde Mill in Utica.
Now, back to high school football, brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on Kate 98.7.
Getting ready to start the third quarter here from Whitefield. Newark trails Groveport 7-0. Some other scores of interest from around the area. Licking Valley and Heath doing battle. Panthers up 14-7. Close contest there it over is. At Swain Field.
Yeah.
Live
update?
Not so fast, my friend. Valley has just scored to make it 20-7. So the Panthers looking to move to 4-0 on the campaign. We saw them last week. not a flashy team by any stretch, but they know what they do, and they do it well.
Yeah, it's as old school as you can really get nowadays. But, yeah, they love establishing the run early to open up the pass in the later games. But they're a team that usually doesn't make that many mistakes.
Granville, Washington Courthouse, 3-0 versus 0-3, 10-10 in
wow.
the first half.
That's a bit of a shocker there.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Granville week two. They handled Tri-Valley pretty comfortably there. And, yeah, they're favored big tonight against Washington Courthouse. So it was at halftime? Or
I think coming up on halftime, yes.
Mm-hmm. Be interesting to see, I guess, Kyle Kirby's status in that one.
Yes, always. Bishop Hartley has a 21-0 lead over Watkins Memorial. Ridgewood 21-0 over Utica. Edison leads Northridge 10-0. Also, Lakewood is trailing Liberty Union 41-0. That game also in the first half. And Johnstown, Mount Vernon, a good one. The Johnnies just scored and got the 2-point conversion. They lead the Yellow Jackets 22-21, close to the halftime there. So the Johnnies just getting the lead there. Next week, we will have Mount Vernon at Heath, so both teams trying to spring upsets tonight. We'll see what happens next week at Swank Field. Pregame at 6:45 and live kickoff at 7 on all these scores and many more on the High School Football Scoreboard Show tonight, 9 to 11. Mark Bruce and Lee Waller will have all the scores for you on our sister station, T100. That's the High School Football Scoreboard Show. 9 to 11. Also, Monday, our next Licking County locker room at Ship Brothers Brewing. We will be going to the pitch, my friend.
Oh, yes.
We are changing it up. We're going to talk soccer. Watkins Memorial boys and girls soccer will be the highlight on Monday. So you can stop on in at Ship Brothers or join us right here starting at 6:30. On Kate 98.7, the Monday Licking County Locker Room, right here on Kate 98.7. So, 7-0 here. Your thoughts as we get ready for the second half?
Yeah, this opening possession, Goport will receive it. So, it was really important, I think, for Newark to not allow them to score to get, you know, a two-possession lead in any form or fashion, whether it be a field goal or a touchdown. The way this game's going right now, Newark cannot afford to go down two possessions in this ball game. And I think, too, just both teams just cleaning up the penalties. I said it earlier in the first half, I think whatever team could play like a penalty-free or as close to a penalty-free half is going to have a lot more success on offense, which will probably lead to them winning the football game.
And Newark losing the turnover battle 2-1 and both turnovers in Groveport territory with the opportunity to score. So if they can play turnover-free football in the second half, they got a chance as well. Groveport will go right to left in this third quarter. Sean Breckville will get ready to kick things away for the Cats. He'll be at his 40-yard line. Another comfortable night for high school football here in Licking County. Little to no breeze whatsoever. Temperature now a comfortable, 71, 72 degrees, 65. Come on, weatherman.
I'll say 70.
He'll go 70 and...
72.
That says 72, so we will give Garrett, our on-site meteorologist, all the credit. 2 weeks ago, he said it's not going to rain, and it didn't rain, and look at him calling the temperature without any hesitation whatsoever. If they didn't make all those cuts, then Noah, you might have a shot there, but they did. I digress. All right, Breckville getting ready to kick things off. 7-0, Newark trails it. Cats trying to get to 3-1 on the season. On the road next week at Logan before Canal and Pitt Central come to town. So it's just a huge, huge ball game for the Cats. See what they can do in the second half. Brett Bill's kick. And it will go right at the line. Boy, that was close to being in the end zone. Foster brings it across. He gets hit hard. But he brings it out to the 30-yard line. I think that was a touchback.
That was a touchback, I would say. I mean, we're looking at each other there. We've seen that exact pretty much, you know, where he's fielded, 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Yeah.
Ball, but ball's like in the end zone. Be called for a touchback. So, you know, it's an unusual night, right?
You are nice. I was going to say, rough night, you went unusual. Good for you. Good for you. First and 10, Groport at their 30, starting this third quarter. Bowden will go under center on this first and 10. And here's the inside handoff. Hello! Hit behind the line of scrimmage. Cats were ready for that, and that should be at least a one-yard loss, and it is.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to start off the second half here for the Wildcats. Groveport trying to go up the middle, which they've had pretty good success in that first half, but not that time. He'll drop for a loss of one. It's a really good for the Wildcat defense. That just kind of throws Groveport off of schedule here. You know, they're a very run-heavy team. They aren't designed to pick up yards in big chunks.
Lunsford once again in there making the stop. Second and 11. Bowden. And here's the end around. And the Cats look like they've got it snuffed out, but he changes direction. 35-40, midfield, turns on the afterburners. 40, 30, 20, and will be knocked out at the 15. Oh, I thought the Cats had it, but they turn it up and reverse field, and a huge, huge pickup for the Cruisers.
Yeah, that was Jackson again, and I mean, he's the magician tonight. I mean, it seems like when there's nothing there, he makes his own room. And, I mean, he went, you know, basically flipped the sides of the field. He went far right and then cut it back and ended up getting tackled here near court on the left sideline.
57 yards on that pickup to the Cats, 14. What a swing right here. So Groveport at the 14 of Newark, up 7-0 as we start this third quarter. And inside handoff for a couple of yards. That's Joseph Scrutchen. He's had a couple carries tonight. And they had that strung out. They really did.
The issue is just not letting Jackson, I think, get really any open field at all. I'm talking like more than 2 yards because he's very fast. I mean, he can pretty much outrun anyone on that Newark defense. He just sort of ran out of gas, I think, here towards the 15-yard line.
Well, hope that's going to be a touchdown-saving tackle if the Cats can man up here. He gets the handoff here. Well, he's not only quick, he's strong. He had a nice surge along the left side there, and he's going to make it third and very short.
Yeah, he's the MVP, I'd say, for this offense here tonight for Groveport. He had that big run right before halftime, which, you know, it's not going to show up like a big run, you know, on the box score, but it allowed Groveport to essentially run out the clock before heading into the locker room, not having to give the ball back to Newark. And then he just had that huge run just a few plays ago, and then right there to make this third and short.
From the 7 of the Cats, it's 3rd and 2 for Groveport, up 7-0, looking for more. Bowden. He will keep it along the left side, gets one block, he's at the 5. He will be short of the goal line, but it will be enough for a Groveport first down. It'll be 1st and goal inside the 2.
Left side. Dropped down by...
Yes. Well, we thought they'd keep it on the ground. They are, because Newark can't stop them on this drive.
Right, and that's what they're just going to continue to do. I mean, they've got basically, I'd say, probably got 4 plays to pick up about 4 yards here for Groveport. So the Newark Wildcats need to, you know, try to channel in their inner Ohio State Buckeyes here for that red zone defense, try to hold them here.
Absolutely. First and goal from the 2. Foster in the backfield with Bowden on this first and goal. He gets the handoff, hit once, hit a second time, trying to surge forward. They're going to say no. That's a hard-earned one-yard run.
Yeah.
But it's second and goal and a little bit closer. And you're right, they will obviously take all the downs they want to get in here. Down inside the 1 on the second and goal.
And, I mean, I would not suspect anything here besides some sort of run for Groveport.
Second and goal, handoff Foster, touchdown. So Groveport takes the opening drive of this third quarter, gets a huge 57-yard run, and Foster, he earned that touchdown, so he takes it in, and that makes the score 13-0 with the extra point coming up.
Yeah, it's just Basically, I'd say it's kind of a devastating drive there for Newark. I mean, we were stressing right before halftime and coming out of halftime how important it was for this opening drive for Newark to try to limit Groveport, not allow them to go up two scores.
Extra point. Line drives it through. 8:13 to go, third quarter. Groveport up 14 to nothing on the high school football game of the week on Tate 98.7.
Tired of door knockers and nonstop calls from out-of-town roofing and siding companies? You don't need strangers climbing on your roof. You need the trusted local experts. Call Mike's Roofing, serving Licking County for 30 years, voted best of the best in roofing and siding 5 years in a row. Mike'sRoofing.net. We handle it all from storm damage assessments to working directly with your insurance. We know the process, and we'll get it done right. If it's broken, we can fix it. Let us take care of your home like our own. Mike'sRoofing.net. And that is Mike'sRoofing.net.
Trillium Farms, one of the leading egg producers in the country, located near Johnstown, is hiring. If you're looking for a flexible, friendly, team-oriented work environment, we want you on our team. We're hiring maintenance technicians with industrial or agriculture backgrounds. Pay is $22.50 to $30 an hour based on experience with a very competitive benefits package. View our current job openings or apply online at versova.com. VERSOVA.com. Trillium Farms is an equal opportunity employer.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating and Lickey Memorial Health Systems on Kate 98.7.
Groveport goes up 14 to nothing after scoring on the opening drive of this third quarter, and it is must-score time now for the Newark Wildcats offense that in two games has scored over 50 points, and right now they're being blanked. So, Garrett, what do you call here to get this drive going?
I would try to just kind of go back to what we saw in week one, but you just got to be cautious too. Just those short, slant, screen passes. I think you got to get the passing game a lot more involved here in the second half.
First and 10, Newark at the 20 after a touchback on the kickoff. Smith to throw, fires. Boy, you are right on target, as that pass was jumped. It was too high for anyone to get, incomplete, but that was going to be a 50-50 ball if it's on the money.
Yeah, and that's those, you know, those little screen and slant routes. That's what Newark's bread and butter has been. Groveport knows that, and that's what you kind of have to use that against, I think, Groveport, is, you know, maybe fake the screen.
I was about to say, maybe a down and out?
Yeah.
You cut, like, and then you go.
Look like you're going to wait for the defender to, you know, basically sell out.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you just take off, and then you big play.
Second and 10. Smith to throw. He is looking long. Catch is made at the 50. Boy, we are good sometimes, aren't we? Catch is made by Jason Giblin, and it's all the way down to about the 33 of Groveport. If they just would ask us, that's all we're saying.
We got the headset on, man. Pat just threw.
That was a nice throw by Bodie. It was right on the money and got Giblin in stride. So the Cats go from their 20 all the way to Groveport's 33-yard line. Now, they've been down here about this area a couple times. Two turnovers. Let's hope this doesn't happen a third time. Handoff. Peterson gets through the hole. And a nice pickup on first down to about the 29, second and six.
Yeah, I think if you want to continue, you obviously want to continue running the football. I try to favor that side Cam Davis is on. He's a right tackle, so I try to run behind him on that right side as much as possible. That's what I feel like when New York's had the most success running the football.
Second down.
Yeah, it'd be nice to run behind 6'5", 273. And that might be a generous 273. He's done a great job. Wish him well on his next go-around after his senior year at Buffalo. And we're going to have a false start against Newark. Second and six, now you get second and 11. Just, again, they have not played bad, but it just seems like there's been a hiccup here and there.
Well, yeah, you just said it. When they get on this side of the field here, it seems like they're getting closer. You know, they're just right outside the red zone, right? They haven't even got in the red zone.
Right.
They get around this, you know, in between the 40 and 30 of Groveport, and yeah, it seems like, you know, whether it just be a negative play, a penalty, something of that sort, it just throws you off schedule, and that's all really that Groveport needs to capitalize on the opportunity.
Second and 11 from Groveport's 33-yard line. Smith, here's the handoff to Royster. Oh, and he can't get away. A good tackle, one-on-one tackle there by Groveport. And making that tackle was Donnell Simon.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get him, I think Royster's got a chance for a first down.
Absolutely, yeah. That was at least a first down saving tackle, and he actually dropped him for about a loss of 2 yards. So, you know, what was once second and six all now turned into third and 13. And I feel like now you don't need to get all this 13 on one play. Just try to pick up, you know, 6-7 yards here. Make this a fourth down and short.
Smith in the gun. Back to throw. Pretty good protection. Now he'll roll up a little bit, looking to make something happen. He's at the 30, and he'll be tackled right there. So it's fourth down and 7, and you got to pick it up. So it was fourth down and 6 about this spot when the interception occurred.
I want to say it was right at the 30.
I think so, yeah. And trailing 14-0, this is a must pick up right here.
And, too, I mean, just for the momentum of this game, too, I mean, this would be a huge momentum shifter, whether they pick it up or they turn it over on downs.
Two wideouts to each side. Royster in the backfield with Smith. Fourth down and 7. Cats down 14 to zip. And I think, yep, Groveport calls a timeout. So gives the Newark offensive staff a little bit more time to think about this. And I'm not sure, you know, again, I like Lumsford here. I think he could break free and get yourself a first down, but you've got weapons here. You've got the opportunity to use whoever you want to, but I think you're also correct in if you try for the slant, Groveport's going to be all over it.
Right. You could, if you, like I said, the slant, Groveport's ready for it. You could basically use a decoy. As a slant route, right? The defender may, you know, use a decoy to maybe free up Lunsford or another receiver, you know, to see what you can get here. But first things first, this offensive line's got to get some nice pass protection here for Bodie Smith. Got to give him a few seconds to, you know, go through his progressions because this, I mean, this fourth down, you know, there's 5:49 left in third quarter, but it feels like it's very big. Could very well impact, really, this game.
Fourth and 7. Cats at the Groveport 30. Here comes a blitz. It is picked up. Smith will look. He's got a man wide open. Peterson. House call. Wildcats. The offensive line picked up the blitz. That gave Bodie Smith time. A 30-yard strike to Colton Peterson, and the Cats are on the board, trailing 14-6.
Yeah, I think Peterson kind of just slithered out of the backfield. Not picked up by anyone on that cruiser defense due to them blitzing. He's wide open. Smith found him, was able to lay that up. Perfect pass and a huge fourth down conversion.
Brett Bill on for a critical extra point here. Kopachi will hold it. Snap down. Kick on the way. Here they come. He got it, and he got it through. And we're going to have a roughing the kicker on Groveport. So 5:42 remains, third quarter, 14-7. Newark now trails by 7. And credit to Breckville, he has not missed an extra point so far this season. You know how I waited. See how I waited before he kicked it.
Yep.
See?
Well, there's always a next extra point.
Oh, I'm not. The jinx cannot carry over. It's right for that moment.
I don't think so. I'll remember that.
You do remember. And I'll say I'm still innocent. So, Breckville can kick it into the end zone. So with the 15 yards here, do you try something special or third quarter you just boom it and hope your defense can stop it?
No, I think you just rely on your defense. You just scored. It's just a one possession game. Still plenty of time. I wouldn't help out this Groveport offense more than you need to here.
So after a 7-0 halftime score, both teams have had the ball once in this third quarter. And we talked about home runs at halftime, yeah. And both launching ones. 57-yard run by Groveport, and then the pass, well, really two home runs. Bodie to Giblin for one, and then on fourth down, from the 30-yard line. A touchdown pass, Smith to Peterson. So 14-7 Groveport. Brettville will kick it off from the 45. And he will send it almost into the stands. Touchback. Groveport gets it first and 10 at the 20. Well, the defense has gotten a turnover tonight. They've gotten four sacks. Let's see if they can make a couple more plays here. They started that opening drive of the third quarter with a nice one-yard TFL, but then the 57-yard run by Foster changed everything.
Yeah, they've got to really limit just the running attack here.
Yeah.
Because, Groveport didn't need to throw it at all on their previous scoring drive, so they need to force Groveport in this passing situation because they haven't really had great success. And when they do drop back to pass, that offensive line hasn't done a great job of pass protection.
First and 10, Cruisers at their 20. Here's the handoff, and again, Newark does a good job on first and 10. A one-yard pickup will make it second and 9 on the little end around there. So here's, again, the next two plays right here, and we have officials stopping play. We have an injured cat down on the field, but he is able to get up, so that's a good thing. But he does have to go out if they stop play, even though he's up on his own. So second down and 9 for Groveport. Third quarter, Cruisers up 14-7. OCC Buckeye action this evening here from Whitefield. Happy to have you along on this contest. Bowden under center for the Cruisers. And we're going to have
right on the play.
Motion against Groveport, so putting them back 5, and again, a running team doesn't like to see that happen.
Nope.
So second and 14. Fans getting a little bit more into this now. We'll see what the Cats defense here can do on this second down and long.
Yeah, the false start definitely helps them out a good bit. I mean, I wouldn't expect Groveport to throw it here. There's really no need. I'd still probably expect them to run it here.
Under center they go. And it's an inside handoff. But again, Foster breaks a couple tackles. Here he goes. 40, midfield, 40, 30, 20. He's got a house call for Groveport. Unbelievable. 83 yards. Back-to-back second and long runs by Foster. 57 on the initial possession of this third quarter and 83 yards to pay dirt. Wow.
Yeah, I feel like this Newark defensive staff is pulling their hair out right now because you're doing such a good job on first down. Then you get the penalty on top of it, right? And you got to know the run's coming. And you still give up a huge...
And I think it was the same call because he started going right a little bit, then not as huge a reverse, but goes left, and there's nobody there with his speed.
Yeah, and that time, nobody able to catch him.
Extra point is good. So, at 4:34 third quarter, air just got let out of Whitefield right here. Groveport now up 21-7.
Yeah, just as you were saying, the crowd's starting to get back into it.
You were just bound to give me a jinx, weren't you?
No, I wasn't.
I know what you were up to.
But, it's just, you do feel like, the air's been let out of this stadium. I mean, because you just had your first scoring drive for Newark, right? Coach is clearly upset, we can hear. But it's kind of, I guess, turned to a bit of a shootout here. I mean, in the third quarter, just a 7 points. Groveport leading 7-0 at halftime. They're already up to 21. Newark with 7. Pressure's now on Newark. They've got to, I think, got to respond here.
No question. No question, because I'm going to guess, Foster, those two right there, that puts him at 140 just on those two carries. So he's close to 200 yards, and he shows no sign of slowing down. I mean, he just took that and was gone down the left sideline. And Newark has a decent amount of speed and just could not corral him, not even close. And here's the kickoff, and that will go, again, back in the end zone. I know I said it earlier, but there should be scouts from an NFL team checking out both these kickers. I'm just saying.
Yeah, so, we know some teams that could use them.
Yep, we do. 21-7. Newark now trails by 14. And let's see, they answered the last drive. They'll need to do it again here. So one team throwing the ball, one team running the ball.
Yeah, if I was Newark, I would just continue to throw the ball, try to get Bodie Smith into a rhythm. I'm sure, you know, this offense has some confidence now after scoring on their previous drive. I just feel like this offense for Newark plays its best when Bodie Smith is playing with confidence, throwing the football.
First and 10, Cats at the 20. Two wideouts split to the far side, one here to the near side. Here comes Groveport, and it's Peterson right up the middle. 40, 45 midfield, 45, 40, down to the 30 and 27-yard line of Groveport. So we talked so well about the defenses after one half, and now big play after big play officially now at Groveport's 26-yard line.
Yeah, I think what threw that off for Groveport, they're blitzing up the middle, and it looked like he timed it up perfectly if it was a passing play. It was a handoff, which left like the middle of the field wide open for Peterson to take full advantage of.
54 yards. Pass knocked down on first down. It'll be second and 10. But Peterson with a 54-yard scamper right up the gut. And Newark's trying to answer once again, trailing 21-7. And here they are in that place of the field once again, in between the 30 and the 20.
Yeah, it's well, they were able to get it in the end zone last time from right about here, so they'll need to again. Four down territory unless, you know, they pick up any big negative plays. So, you know, don't need to panic or anything here.
Second down and 10 from the Cruiser 26. Smith to throw. It's a quick drop and catch made, but a loss of three on the play. So it's just the same pattern. You get down here, first down, and now it's second down and 10, and now it's third and long at the 29.
Loss of three on the play.
I don't like this part of the field for the Cats.
I don't think they do either. It's yeah, you got an incompletion, and you do the wide receiver screen, but we've been saying Groveport knows. They know that's a point of emphasis for this new Wildcat offense. They jumped the route, lost a three, got it, you know, just trying to get it fourth and six, fourth and seven here. That's the main thing you need to do.
Third and 13, Peterson to throw. He is lobbing and looking for Giblin. Pass knocked away at the very last minute. Pretty good throw by Smith, but pretty good coverage by Groveport, and it was knocked away at the goal line. So it is fourth and 13 for Newark after the incompletion.
Yeah, game-saving pass breakup that time, as it will be fourth and long now for Newark. We'll see if they can pull the bunny out of the hat here for the second straight time.
Going to have to. Got to find a way here. Fourth and 13 from the 29. Groveport 21, Newark 7. Cats at the Cruiser 29. Can they convert this fourth and long? Two wideouts split to each side. Urban Royster in the backfield with Smith. Bodie to throw. Good protection. Looks deep in the end zone. Incomplete. Was looking for Peterson. Good coverage by Groveport. And a turnover on downs for the Cats here in the third quarter with 3 minutes to go and trailing by 14. Not a bad play call. Peterson can get to it, but Smith led him a little bit too long, and it falls to the turf.
Yeah, I think, you know, that time Smith was just, I think, afraid of throwing a pick right there. But it's fourth down. You just got to, because it was, you know, the man coverage was, he was going step for step with Peterson. You just kind of have to throw that in there, and if it gets picked, it gets picked just because it's fourth down.
So Groveport, which has had the ball twice in this third quarter and has scored both times, expanding their lead from 7-0 at the break to now 21-7. It's Foster, and he will at least be stopped after just 6 yards.
Well, first down isn't the issue, right? It's second down. Second down is where the big plays have happened on both of the previous drives for Grooveport. So you got to lock in here if you're Newark.
Second down, four at the Cruiser 35-yard line. Bowden. Hand off Foster. Breaks one tackle, but then is stopped. So to my knowledge, they have not thrown a pass in the second half, correct?
They have not. And I don't see any signs of them needing to or wanting to. They got a two-touchdown lead. I would say now, you know, a little over 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, they're probably going to start working the clock and just, you know, picking up. Really, no need to. I mean, they don't really probably have any much urgency to score. It's just really to pick up a first down and continue to bleed the clock.
Third down and four. Foster in the backfield with Bowden. Trips to the far side. And here is the first pass, and it's a backwards pass to Foster. The Cats are right there. Can they get him? And they do! All the way back to the 32-yard line. I got to be honest, I don't like the play call, but Newark was right there to get it. Price on the tackle, and it forces the first punt of the night for the Cruisers. They had to have it, and they got it, Garrett.
Yep. Good job by the Wildcats defense that time. I think I agree with you, though. I don't think you needed to throw that. I mean, if you weren't wanting to pass, I would throw the ball forward, not behind you there in a situation like that. If you want to do something like that, get the ball in Foster's hand, just hand it off to him.
High snap. Punt is getting away, and Peterson calls for a fair catch at the 34-yard line. So, Newark's defense does hold for the first time in this second half, and the Cats get the ball back, trailing 21-7, but they've had two good drives in this second half, one leading to a score and one leading to a turnover in downs. Just stay out of the between 30 and 25-yard line range, and we'll be in good shape.
Just got to score before you get there, right?
That's
right.
You
just got to score before you get there, or you just got to bypass it completely, you know, just get a goal-to-go situation. But, yeah, Newark's moved the ball very well in this third quarter so far. They just only, unfortunately, they wish they had 14 points, not just 7 points to show for it.
From their 35, first and 10, Newark. Smith, hand off Peterson up the middle. Again, a good burst, and he would get close to 9 yards. So that play has worked well the last couple of times. Give him 9, second and 1.
Yeah, the running attack for both these teams has had great success so far here in the third quarter.
Second and 1 for the Cats at their 44. Smith, fake handoff. Catch made just enough for a first down. They are real close to making a pick on that. On that long pass to the sidelines.
Yeah, I think it just depends how much cushion those defensive backs are going to give the receiver that are running those particular screens. If it's no cushion, it's going to have a very real chance to get intercepted.
From the 48, first and 10, Irvin Royster hit by 3 guys. Ball is fumbled, recovered by Groport. Oh, my, at midfield. Third turnover of the night. Royster was banged hard 3 times, and the third one got the pitch skin loose. And Groveport, huge opportunity here. They recover it at their 49-yard line, already up by 14.
Yeah, that's a killer turnover in a spot like that. You're giving Groveport good field position, and you're just, I mean, it just lets, I don't know, it just feels like getting punched in the gut. For Newark, you know, we're moving the ball once again on offense, but you just turn the ball over. Once again, turnover's been an issue tonight for the Wildcats.
First and 10, Groveport at their 49. It's Foster. Breaks 2 tackles. Here he goes. 45-30, and will be wrestled down at the 26. And that's the way this third quarter will come to an end. Groveport up 21-7 as we start the fourth, as you're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Football, flannels, and falling prices. Been waiting to upgrade your garage door? Get the deal of the year with Central Ohio Garage Door and the Clopay Fall Rebate Event for unbeatable savings now through
through October 31st. Up to $1,000 rebates on qualifying FloPay purchases. These are major discounts for a limited time only. Invest in your home's value and curb appeal. Call Central Ohio Garage Door, 20 Anthony Drive, Newark, off Mount Vernon Road, and online at CentralOhioGarageDoor.com. Trillium Farms, one of the leading egg producers in the country, located near Johnstown, is hiring. If you're looking for a flexible, friendly, team-oriented work environment, we want you on our team. We're hiring maintenance technicians with industrial or agriculture backgrounds. Pay is $22.50 to $30 an hour based on experience with a very competitive benefits package. View our current job openings or apply online at versova.com. VERSOVA.com. Trillium Farms is an equal opportunity employer.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Kasep's Auto Body and Service Center and Trillium Farms, here on Kate 98.7.
We start the fourth quarter here at Whitefield. Cats have some work to do, trailing 21-7, and Groveport on the march at the Cats' 26-yard line. Already with the two-score advantage, looking for more, and it has all been Mr. Foster in the backfield, as we will have a penalty to start this fourth quarter. Usually the... Nope. He picks it up.
No.
You still want to go with unusual?
Did he pick it up?
Yeah. Because the head linesman just waved it off. He just wanted to make sure he could still do it.
I guess, because basically as soon as they resume play, he threw it.
Yes, he did. I don't know. First and 10. Groveport at the Cats 26. Bowden, here's the end around. It's Newell, and he will get a pretty good pickup on first down inside the 20. So the Cats with three turnovers, a turnover on downs inside Groveport territory, and just unable to stop the running of Foster, who will have over 200 yards rushing. And again, just on three carries, he's got 165.
Yeah, the big plays. I mean, both teams have had big plays here in this second half. It's just, it looks like Groveport has been able to put them and execute for touchdowns. Newark hasn't been able to.
You got to try and get a turnover here. Really got to try. Second down and four. Here's the pitch to Foster on the left side. Makes two men miss. Good stop right there. And I think he'll be about a yard, maybe yard and a half shy of third down.
Well, yeah, you at least have to force a fourth down here. That's the first thing for Newark. You got it, too. Just, I mean, take it one play at a time here. You got the full fourth quarter. You'll see what happens here on third down. Just got to take it one play at a time.
Third and a long two for Groveport at the Cats 18. Bowden under center. Hand off Foster. And he breaks two, maybe three tackles inside the 15. He just cannot be stopped. First down, Groveport.
No, yeah, just lots of broken tackles.
Well, the good news is his helmet came off, so he's got to go out for one play.
It's the only way to stop him so far here in the second half.
Yeah, but that was a mosh pit right there at about the line of scrimmage, and next thing you know, he picked up 4 yards.
I mean, that's a similar player before third quarter it is. It's kind of a mosh pit, and then he somehow gets out of it and picks up, you know, 15 yards. So it's just when you get him stopped, someone's just got to try to get him down.
First and 10, Groveport, just inside the Cats' 15-yard line, up 21-7. And here's Newell. Nice cutback, and he gets inside the 10. He just completely put on the brakes and then was able to go north-south and gets a good positive pickup. I mean, again, the defensive front has had four sacks and a couple TFLs, but they probably could have a lot more if these Groveport running backs could be tackled in the backfield.
Yeah. And that's kind of thing, kind of been the story of the game, is that the defense has had a good job, I mean, shedding the blocks and getting in the backfield. It's just, once they get there, tackling the ball carrier.
This is a pretty good 0-3 ball club.
Yeah.
And they're showing it. Again, they've had a tough schedule before late play tonight, but they could be a team to reckon with in the OCC Buckeye. Foster. That time they stop him for little to no gain. And it'll be third down and five for the Cruisers at the Cats 10. Price once again. Price and Lumsford have had great ball games defensively. Can they get another stop here?
Yeah, at least force the fourth down, you know, discussion decision here. Cannot really afford to give up any more first downs. I mean, because already under 10 to play. Groveport's just going to continue, I mean, using up that entire play clock each and every time. They're just going to continue running the football.
Here's a third and five, and it's an end around. It's Newell. He's at the five. Did he hit the pylon? They're going to say he did, but before he did, he stepped out of bounds at three, and it's a first and goal, Groveport. Oh, they're going to say all the way down to the one. So another third down conversion, and I bet in this game we've had more third down conversions on the ground than we've probably seen all season long.
Probably just because of how much Groveport's run the football.
Yeah,
especially in the second half.
So first and goal, well, they said the one, now they mark it at the two. But it's still tough sledding here for the Cats defense. Foster back in. See if he gets the handoff. Nope, it's going to be an end around and touchdown, Groveport.
Touchdown, Groveport.
That's Newell with his second score of the night. And where are we on the clock?
8:56.
That's going to be tough. 27-7 now. Groveport expanding their lead to 20.
Well, I think the difficult thing for Newark is just going to be finding a way to stop Groveport.
On for the extra point as the Cruisers try to make it a 28-7 contest. Snap down, kick on the way, and it is good. 28-7, Groveport leads it here in the fourth. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on K98.7.
Carpenter's Market in Somerset, proud supporter of all area high school football teams, invites you to stop in and stock up on all the meat, deli, and dairy items you need. They're open 7 days a week and have the best selection of local produce and local beef. While you're in the store, be sure to check out their weekly specials. You'll save real money on their discounted meat boxes. They're the ideal place to stock up for the colder weather to come. Look for Carpenter's Market on Facebook and at 103 South Columbus Street in Somerset.
This is Chris from KSF's Auto Body. Unfortunately, if you are involved in an accident and you make an insurance claim, you may say, hey, I want to go to KSF's. The bill payer may have some opinions about us. They may tell you some things that aren't necessarily true. Ultimately, we have one boss. We want to serve you as the customer, and we want to do that in the best way we can. Come meet us. Get your own opinions about us. I think that you're going to trust us, and you'll be glad you did. KSF's Auto Body in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-seps.com.
KSF's, quality you can trust.
Now, back to high school football, brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on K98.7.
Groveport's had the ball four times in this second half. Three touchdowns have come from those four possessions, and the 7-0 lead at halftime is now 28-7, and we're going to have an offsides on the kickoff. And Coach Westcamp's got to be pleased with his team if they clean up some of their penalties.
Right.
Again, I don't. This is not a bad football team.
No, they've got some athletes for sure. And I mean, yeah, if they didn't have the penalties tonight, they'd be leading by even more.
Yeah.
I mean, seven penalties with the offsides.
And again, you talked about it in the pregame. Which newer team? And again, the opponent has something to do with it, but 56-20, 52-20, 24-7, 28-7.
That was a common theme here, right?
Yep.
Seven.
Yep.
The offense. And, I mean, based on how well your offense does, that can directly affect the defense as well. So,
and that kick will be fielded at the 10, bringing it up across the 20, 25, and tackled about the 27. And again, 7 points, one punt. So it's been three turnovers,
right,
plus a turnover on downs. That's four potential scoring opportunities.
Yeah, and it's two in those two victories where they scored 56-52. Bodie Smith was pretty much on the money, right? Very few. I went three incompletions probably across both games.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, against Mount Vernon, I remember you telling me, I don't know the exact number, but it was, he was, you know, completing less than 50% of his passes. I think it's safe to say tonight, too, he's under 50% completion rate. So I think, you know, like I said, I feel like this offense does its best when Bodie Smith is, you know, completing the majority of his passes.
Peterson up the gut on first and 10. We'll get 5 yards to the 32. So second down and five, and it's got to be hurry-up mode for the Cats as we're coming up on 7.5 to play fourth quarter. Because you know whether they score here or not, Roport's just going to run,
yeah,
and bleed that clock. Smith to throw. Fires. Catch made. There's the catch to Lunsford. He will be shy of the first down by a couple of yards.
Yeah, that's something I think both of us wanted to see more in this New York offense is using his press to Lunsford more. There's been a couple key plays where he just hasn't been out there on the field.
Third and two for Newark at their 36, trailing 28-7. Here's the handoff. Royster, first down, gets up to the 40-yard line. So Irvin Royster gets it, and the Cats will keep this drive alive at the 40. First and 10, hurry up, offense. Smith gets the play call in. Ready for the snap. To throw, fires, catch made. Lunsford just shy of midfield. About a 9-yard pickup. We'll call it second down and one. Yeah, Buffalo's getting a couple good players here from Newark.
Yeah.
And be interesting what they call here, because it looked like Groveport jumped first, then the Newark lineman moved, which I think was Davis, but I think they are calling it against Groveport, and they are.
Yep.
So offsides against the Cruisers will give the Cats an automatic first down to Groveport's 46-yard line, first and 10 there. Groveport up 28-7. And Cruisers want to call a timeout. So we'll take one as well. It's 7:08, fourth quarter, 28-7. Cruisers lead it. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Tate 98.7.
Score big on Football Friday night at Widener's Corner Grill and Pub. Located at the intersection of Routes 37 and 256, just 8 miles south of I-70. Best breakfast around 6 a.m. daily. Fuel up with our delicious pizza, wings, and the famous Andy the Bear Burger. Enjoy daily and nightly specials before or after the game. Heading to Buckeye Lake? Swing by our drive-thru for bait, beverages, and more. Join us at Widener's Corner for a winning night.
Trillium Farms, one of the leading egg producers in the country, located near Johnstown, is hiring. If you're looking for a flexible, friendly, team-oriented work environment, we want you on our team. We're hiring maintenance technicians with industrial or agriculture backgrounds. Pay is $22.50 to $30 an hour based on experience with a very competitive benefits package. View our current job openings or apply online at versova.com. VERSOVA.com. Trillium Farms is an equal opportunity employer.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating and Lincoln Memorial Health Systems on Kate 98.7.
Back here at Whitefield, second down and 10 for the Cats after the timeout by Groveport, trailing 28-7. Licking Valley now expanding their lead on Heath, 34-7. They just wear you down.
Yep.
Mount Vernon has rallied to take a 28-22 lead on Johnstown.
Oh.
And Washington Courthouse 17, Granville 10.
Wow.
Bodie to fire deep and incomplete at the 5-yard line. He was looking for Peterson, who was double teamed. And that'll make it a third down. Let's pause for station identification. This is the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week on WCLT, W254-CT Newark, K98.7.
Brian Mays and Garrett Meteorologist Wando here at Whitefield, 28-7. Cats trail this one. Face a third down and 10 from the Groveport 46-yard line. Just under 7 to play in this fourth quarter. Bodie Smith to Cook. Fires, pass almost intercepted twice, but it does fall incomplete, and it's fourth down. They know what they're doing right now. And we got officials stopping play. And they're saying, my time. And it's because there is a injured cruiser down at the 31-yard line. Buckeye football tomorrow night for the first time this year. All the action right here on Kate 98.7. Your home for the Buckeyes. Interstate matchup, Buckeyes and Bobcats. And if I see one more story about the mascots and the punch 15 years ago, let's focus on today, can we? Anyways, Ohio State 2-0, Bobcats 1-1 after knocking off West Virginia, accurately predicted by, yeah. I can't do the weather, but I can do that. I think Ohio State rolls easy, but the Bobcats will give a little bit of a challenge more than what we saw from Grambling.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ohio... Some people are saying they may represent the group of five in the playoff. I mean, they're definitely a solid team. They took Rutgers right to the buzzer.
They did.
They really comfortably took care of West Virginia.
Yeah, so. Even though that was a 7-point game, you never felt like West Virginia was going to rally.
Yeah, I feel like 2-Ohio was basically leading basically the whole game.
And Newark now has to call a timeout, which you don't want to have to use with the clock stop, but on fourth down, you got to make sure you get that. So, but yeah, Buckeyes and Bobcats, and I like seeing Ohio State always play. If you're going to spend money and write checks, write them to schools in the state.
Absolutely.
But they are looking good, the number one team in the nation, despite the chance from Florida State and others that think they've turned it around already.
Well, it's a long season.
It is a long season.
Yeah, lots of tests ahead. And I think, too, just one game at a time. And I think Ohio State, Coach Day, they've got it locked in.
Well, and don't you feel, I mean, it's obviously great that they won the national championship, but he's probably got more confidence and aura around him. Like, okay, there is still one monkey on his back he's got to get. We
right.
know it. We
yep.
won't even need to say it. But you go into a season as defending national champs, you're doing something right.
Well, absolutely. I think, too, you know, ever since they did lose, you know, the
yeah.
team up north last year, there has just been a different, I think, feel with Coach Day.
Fourth and 10. Smith looks, fires. He's got Irvin Royster, 30, 20, and down at about the 10-yard line. So they convert on the fourth down. They want to move quickly. And Irvin Royster was wide open. Takes it down the sidelines, and the Cats inside the red zone at the 11, first and 10.
Yeah, big fourth down conversion right there. We'll see. I mean, Newark's trying to hurry up, put this one in the end zone.
Smith to fire. Great catch by Kopachi. Nope, they're going to say it fell to the ground. Kopachi thought he caught it. I thought he did on the initial look, but the official was right there. Incomplete, and that's probably not a bad thing because would not have picked up the first down, and more time would have run off.
Right.
So you've got second and 10 from the 11. Cats down 28-7. We'll be at the Groveport 11-yard line. Smith with Irvin Royster and Peterson on both sides of him in the backfield. Bodie to throw. Scrambling a couple times. Now he's going to run. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. And he gets hammered at about the 3-yard line. Down to 6:20. Clock will continue to run.
Well, I'll tell you, I think the defender got the worst of it.
Yeah, he lowered his shoulder. It was a hammer job. Both guys. And you're right, the Groveport defender, the slower one to give up. Bodie's a tough guy. So, yeah, he's still down, I guess. He's in the very corner. You got a better look than I do.
Yeah. I can't get a number. It's they're all the medical staff surrounding him.
Okay. So clock stops. It'll be second down and 2 at the 3. And Newark will have the ball when we resume play, trailing 28-7. So we get a quick score here, and he is now up
29.
Might have got his bell rung a little bit there. So you score and go for the onside and hopefully get it.
Yeah, just over about scoring right now.
Yep.
Just got to get it in there. It's been hard for Newark to get it in the end zone. They've done a good job of moving the football. They've just been, you know, finishing drives.
So it's actually third and two from the three because you had the incomplete pass to Kopachi to start. Smith in the gun. Roll. Nope, it's an inside handoff to Peterson. I don't think he got in, Garrett. He might have. See where they marked it. Maybe got the first down.
Yeah, he got the first, but I don't think he got the touchdown. Just a yard short there.
So he'll be inside the one, first and goal there. But you can't waste much more time under six.
No, you got to go. Because, more than likely, you're going to have to give Groveport the ball.
Smith keeps it, and he is into the end zone. Touchdown, Newark. Bodie Smith's second rushing touchdown on the season. And that cuts the lead to 28-13 with 5:53 to go in this contest. Brett Bill on for the extra point. That's all I'm saying about that.
Yeah, we'll see.
He is ready. Snap down. Kick on the way. It hit the post and does not
see what you
go
did.
Through. I am completely and totally innocent.
Innocent?
On that missed extra point.
See, I had it ready, because if you made it,
I know you
the
did.
Curse doesn't survive a quarter, but in this case, you know, it does.
Unbelievable. And I'm not even a Browns fan, so that shouldn't be held against me. That's just wrong. So it's 28-13. It's still a two-score game.
Right.
And you've got to get the extra, or I should say the onside kick here, which you got to try.
Yep. But they only have two timeouts, Newark does, so that will... We'll see if that comes into play, but I would... You know, getting two onside kicks back-to-back, let alone just getting one, is going to be tough, so... We'll see.
Well, Brett Bill is ready.
Well, he had to get that out of his system. Now he's going to get the onside kick.
Let's hope so. He marched it at the 40, and they do work on this. It all really kind of depends on the bounce.
Yeah.
So he's got it teed up the way he wants to at the 40. Looks like he's going to try to angle to the right side. Here we go. Here's the onside. High bounce. I like
there
the bounce.
Is.
Up in the air.
He got it.
Royster. Evan Royster's got it. That's one.
See, I told you he had to get that out of his system.
Yep.
He's got it.
I tell you what, that high bounce was just perfect.
Well, that's what you want with an onside kick. You want it to hang in the air as long as possible to give your guys the time to get in that basically the Groveport's area. That's exactly what happened.
So not over by any stretch. Here comes Newark with a chance. They were able to grab it at the Cruiser 44. 28-13. Groveport still leads it by 15, but... The Cats trying to have a miracle rally here. First things first, you got to score. And you really, let's just wait and see what happens. I'm about to get into scenarios, but we'll wait and see. Smith, he is set. Back to throw. Fires, catch made by Irvin Royster. Makes one man miss, gets to the 40, down to the 39. Oh, no. Groveport wanted a fumble, but the referees are saying he was down.
Yeah, I was about to say, too, just got to make sure to hold on to the ball here for Newark, too. Do not want to turn it over. No fumbles. You already had two this game.
Second down, 5, just inside the 40. Smith fires over the middle, pass tipped and incomplete. Oh, that was close to a pick.
Yep. And you can kind of, I feel like, feel the Goforts does have an interception on one of the fourth down attempts for Newark in the first half, but you do kind of, I think, feel like sense Goforts seeking out to get another pick here for Bogey Smith.
Third and 5, obviously four down territory here for the Cats, trailing 28-13. Down to 10 seconds on the play clock. Cannot use a timeout right here. Down to 5. They got to go. Smith is ready, and it's a bad snap, but Bodie is able to pick it up. Now let's see.
Just there, get a false start.
Yep. Oh, that could have been disastrous. It's still not great, but at least you still have the ball.
Right, yeah, you're sensing either a delay a game or some sort of pre-snap penalty just happening right there just because the play clock was going down so low. And it still wasn't set. It looks like Newark will burn the timeouts, and it's just... I mean, at this point, I guess you're just fully bought into you're going to have to get the onside kick.
Because I was going to say, if you scored quick enough... You necessarily wouldn't have to do onside
right.
With two timeouts.
Well,
that's gone.
Well, you still have one. I mean, if you score right here, you got 5 minutes left. You could kick it off, but I feel like no matter how quick they score, they're still going to attempt the onside kick just because you really can't afford to give up more than, what, two first downs go for it. Game will be over. So
third down and 11 when we resume play. And, yeah, you've got to find a way to get 11 yards to keep this thing going. 28-13, Groport leads it. It was 7-0 at halftime. And the Cruisers went up 14-0. Newark answered, made it 14-7. Then two straight scores by Groport put it at 28-7. Cats just got a touchdown by Bodie Smith. And an onside kick recovery has led to where we are now at 28-13, third down and 11 from the Cruiser 45. More discussion with the officials and coaching staffs. Not been a fluid game any way, shape, or form. Smith is ready. And we've got false start against Newark, but nobody... You'll have to answer that for me.
Offsides against the Wildcats. Moves the ball.
Offsides.
That wasn't the call. Again, you'll have to answer that for me. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Third down and 16 from midfield. Not what you want to see after you call a timeout. Smith's looking over. Got the play in. Here we go. Bodie to throw. He's got pressure. He's in trouble, and he is sacked. All the way back to the 30. I mean, it just really just fell apart. The botch snap, the false start, the timeout, and you're back to the 38-yard line. I guess I get to say it. It is fourth and beyond a country mile now. I mean, you just got to throw this deep.
Yeah, you do. And if you're go for it, I mean, you really just kind of have to play. You can kind of play a prevent here.
Absolutely. They're really not.
Yeah, I would have, yeah.
Fourth down, Smith airs it out, and great effort, but it does fall incomplete, so Groport takes over with 4:06 to go. Boy, that looked promising after you get the onside kick recovery, but it just, nothing really worked after that.
No, yeah, you got the chance, but... Yeah, like you said, it all kind of just slowly fell apart, and it all eventually led to that turnover and downs, which now, one timeout, 4:06. I mean, it's, I'd say, pending really a turnover here from Groveport, it's probably going to be over.
Well, they take over at Newark's 38-yard line. That was just a truly bizarre sequence. Groport, you know, will keep the ball on the ground. So again, besides the backwards pass, that's been the only ball in the air by Groport this entire second half. Newell. And he breaks two more tackles, and they're going to have to stop play because his helmet came off because he wanted to keep going, but they have to stop it when the helmet comes off. And they were going to call a face mask as well. That's why the helmet came off against Newark. I don't know that I've seen, after an onside kick recovery, it just turn completely the other way, which it just has. Three penalties, a sack, just all the momentum with Newark, and it just has reversed in four plays.
Yeah, I want to say probably the loudest the stadium's been was that onside kick recovery.
Yeah.
And really not a peep since.
No, just the whistles of flags. That's basically it.
Yep.
So after the face mask, it's first and 10, Groport at the 20, and that will just about do it. Bowden under center. Hand off Foster. And Newark's defense still playing hard. They will get him for no gain there. But at this point, Groport could care less as they just want that clock to run.
Yeah, absolutely. That offense came to play here in the second half.
Boy, they did.
Big plays, and really Foster being, I'd say, the MVP in this one. Just big run after big run in this second half, which is really what led to this Groport 28-13 lead.
Inside handoff and touchdown, Groport. That was Troy Hines getting into the end zone, and that definitely will put a wrap on this one as he takes it in from about 18 yards out, and the Cruisers will continue their streak against the Wildcats. Again, have not beaten Groport since 2017. And you wouldn't have thought the average score of what it's been over the last few years, it didn't look like that was going to be the case at halftime, but it is now up to a 34-13 margin with the extra point coming. Four of four on the night as I try the jinx on the other side. Nope.
Well, it doesn't work when you're trying to beat them, right?
So 35-13, Groport will get their first win on the season and move to 1-3. Newark falls to 2-2 and will be 0-1 in the OCC Buckeye. Wildcats go on the road next week to Logan to take on the Chieftains, so that should be a win for the Cats. Moves you to 3-2, but then Canal Winchester, who started tonight undefeated, Pitt Central, who is blasting Logan tonight. So they're here at Whitefield, but those are going to be two tough games, and then you conclude the year with Reynoldsburg, Taze Valley, and Lancaster. So a lot still to play for, but it's just frustrating that a team that was unbeaten here at Whitefield last year, Jared, is now 0-2 on their home turf.
Right, and that's, big reason why, they had so much success last year, 7 wins. It's because, they went undefeated. They defended their home field very well, and it's, very tough, especially the way they started the season, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I was very confident in this Newark team before, even the opening kickoff.
Right there with you.
They started off, beating Licking Heights 42-0. I was like, all right, well, here we go. I mean, we were looking ahead, and, we were thinking 8-9 wins around that mark, and already down to the 2 losses here. It's a bit of, and they, I feel like it kind of started with that, obviously, that Mount Vernon loss. Both shocked to see just the score of that one. And then, I think here tonight, it's just, not the main thing is just not, I think, being able to finish their drives.
Yeah. Yep. Penalties, and you talked about at halftime, clean up the penalties. There's been a couple big ones in this second half. And a turnover as well when it was 21-7. And we have the ball. We're at midfield. Got a chance to get back to a 1 score. Didn't happen. They score. And that kind of really didn't end the game, but really put Newark in a bad spot. So Cats will start at their 20, first and 10, and we have a new quarterback in, and we've got an interception.
Pass is intercepted.
So intercepted by Groveport at the 28-yard line, and that is turnover number four. So four turnovers and two turnovers on downs. Tough to win ball games like that.
Yeah, and then too, in that first quarter, I believe it was just 7-0 at the time, but Newark forced a fumble from Groveport at around midfield, and that felt like a turning point too, Eric. Oh, Newark has a chance to tie this one up, and I want to say what the very next play or two plays later, they fumble it themselves and they get the ball right back. So it's just to being able to capitalize in those types of situations, you know, against teams like Groveport, right?
Yep.
These, you know, the talent, I mean, you're going to be going blow for blow, you know. It's, you're not going to be, you know, scoring 50 and winning by four or five possessions against these types of teams. These types of teams, you're going to have to make all those little things work in order to, you know, hopefully pull out a one possession game.
And it's not like Newark came in, hey, Groveport's 0-3, we got this. I don't think there was any overconfidence whatsoever. But I think Groveport felt very confident coming in.
Yeah.
And it showed.
Yeah, pretty much you didn't, without looking at the records, you just watched this ball game. I mean, you would have thought, yeah, Groveport had 2-1 themselves or 3-0 just the way they were playing. No signs of any lack of confidence or any really struggle.
So after the interception, Groveport will just look to run this thing out. As we have minute 50 to go. And at 1-3, again, the OCC's Buckeye is tough, but I got to think they're not going to finish worse than 5-5. I could be wrong, but I think this is a football team that's going to leave tonight with a lot of confidence and say, hey, we played three probably playoff teams to start the year, Darby, Gahanna, and Big Walnut. At least two of those three will be. And they're like, we held our own in two of those three contests. They're going to be a tough ball club second half of the season. And for Newark, as it was last year when they lost this game, how they recovered, because they didn't let it really get to them, and they were able to right the ship and finish 7-3. Again, you should get a win next week. You're at 3-2 halfway through the season. We'll see what happens.
Right. I think the only difference was, well, last year, I think they started out 3-0, though, right?
I think so.
So, yeah, you just have that second loss now earlier in the season. Yeah, it would just be interesting to see, though, how Newark responds to the next 3 weeks. Like you said, it would be good to, you know, see if they could pick up two out of three of those games.
Here's a handoff inside, and a flag comes flying from the 25 all the way to the 10, and it'll be a hold against Groveport. Yeah, we'll see the leadership on this ball club, and Coach Franks told me this week, you know, last year everyone was thrilled with seven victories. This year, expectations. So
right.
how do you manage that? Because people wanted to see, and you mentioned, hey, people were thinking 8-9 victories.
Especially, you know, 42-0 halftime.
Yeah, so
start the year.
You know, there'll be some doubters again, and again, you've got a lot of football left, and it'll be up to the seniors and the leaders on this ball club to decide how they want to proceed moving forward. And victory formation now for the Cruisers, and that should do it, I believe, and it will.
Yep.
So Groveport comes to Whitefield victorious tonight over the Newark Wildcats by a final of 35-13. We'll wrap it up after this timeout as you've been listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Hi, I'm Caitlin with Elliott Heating and Cooling, your local Premier Armstrong dealer. We're family owned, and for over 10 years, we've been proudly serving Licking County and the surrounding area. Need a new system? We offer free consultations for equipment replacement. Have an older unit? We service all makes and models to keep you comfortable year round.
And with energy prices going up, now's the perfect time to make sure your system's running at peak efficiency so you can save on those electric bills. Elliott Heating and Cooling, keeping you comfortable and your costs low in every season. Visit our website today, ElliottHeating.com.
This is Chris from KSEP's Auto Body. Unfortunately, if you are involved in an accident and you make an insurance claim, you may say, hey, I want to go to KSEP's. The bill payer may have some opinions about us. They may tell you some things that aren't necessarily true. Ultimately, we have one boss. We want to serve you as the customer, and we want to do that in the best way we can. Come meet us. Get your own opinions about us. I think that you're going to trust us, and you'll be glad you did. KSEP's Auto Body in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-seps.com.
KSEP's, quality you can trust.
At the Energy Cooperative, our propane members enjoy clean fuel, competitive rates, and a dependable supply all from a trusted local provider. Whether you need metered service or bulk delivery for your home, business, or farm, we've got you covered. Right now, take advantage of introductory rates as low as $1.69 per gallon. Visit myenergycoop.com/propane or call us at 740-344-2102 to learn more. The Energy Cooperative, safe, reliable, trusted, local.
Tired of door knockers and nonstop calls from out-of-town roofing and siding companies? You don't need strangers climbing on your roof. You need the trusted local experts. Call Mike's Roofing, serving Lincoln County for 30 years, voted best of the best in roofing and siding 5 years in a row. Mike'sRoofing.net. We handle it all from storm damage assessments to working directly with your insurance. We know the process, and we'll get it done right. If it's broken, we can fix it. Let us take care of your home like our own. Mike'sRoofing.net. And that is Mike'sRoofing.net.
Husqvarna's riding lawnmowers are designed from the turf up to deliver cutting-edge performance and versatility for any sized property. Powerful, durable, and easy to operate, Husqvarna riding lawnmowers feature air induction technology cutting decks for superior cutting and pedal-operated transmissions for maximum operator control. And Husqvarna riding lawnmowers can be equipped with a wide variety of attachments to help you maintain your property any time of the year. Check out the versatility of Husqvarna riding mowers at Wright Brothers Power in Newark.
Tired of door knockers and nonstop calls from out-of-town roofing and siding companies? You don't need strangers climbing on your roof. You need the trusted local experts. Call Mike's Roofing, serving Lincoln County for 30 years, voted best of the best in roofing and siding 5 years in a row. Mike'sRoofing.net. We handle it all from storm damage assessments to working directly with your insurance. We know the process, and we'll get it done right. If it's broken, we can fix it. Let us take care of your home like our own. Mike'sRoofing.net. And that is Mike'sRoofing.net.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by KSEP's Auto Body and Service Center and Trillium Farms, here on K98.7.
Back here at Whitefield, final score tonight in the opener of the OCC Buckeye for the Newark Wildcats. They fall to the Groveport Cruisers by a final of 35-13. Never would have expected that score by the way this game started, and it was 7-0 at halftime in favor of Groveport after they got a fourth down touchdown run from 20 yards out. They got the ball to start the second half. Second and 11, a 57-yard scamper set up their second touchdown. Wildcats came right back with a big touchdown pass on fourth down of 30 yards out from Bodie Smith to Colton Peterson. It was 14-7. Second and long at the 17, Foster once again for Groveport, 83 yards this time to the house. That made it 21-7 after a turnover by Newark. They expand the lead to 28-7. Cats got to 28-13 and were able to recover an onside kick, but were not able to do anything with it. A garbage touchdown by Groveport makes the final 35-13. Your thoughts on this one?
Second down was Newark's worst nightmare tonight. That's really what it was. I mean, in the second half, it seemed like, you know, first down would go their way. They'd, you know, drop them for a loss or, you know, for just a few yard pickup. I remember, you know, one time, what, it was basically no gain, then a false start. Second and 14, I think, what, that's when he ripped off his big, like, 85-yarder for a touchdown. So it was just, and then two on the offensive side of the ball. Newark was able to move the ball, but they'd get choked up around the 40, 30-yard line of Groveport. And then just turning the ball over too is just was killer for them. And just not being able to capitalize. Groveport did turn it over once, but Newark got that turnover and gave it right back just a play or two later. So just not being able to capitalize on Groveport's mistakes, Groveport was able to capitalize on Newark's mistakes, and I feel like that's what was basically the difference maker here tonight. As well, too, is you got to give credit to Groveport. They did their scouting report, right? They know what Newark liked to do. They know what Newark did in those, you know, how they put up 56 and 52. Against Zanesville and Licking Heights. It was those screens, it was those slants. Their defensive backs were all over it tonight. They didn't, you know, jump those routes for a pick, but they didn't let, you know, a home run come off those plays like we saw in week one.
Turnover 4-1 in favor of Canal. Two turnovers on downs as well for Newark. One inside Groveport territory. What do you think Coach Frank says to the ball club after this? Because, again, it was anybody's ball game for a good majority of the contest. It ends up being a lopsided score. But, again, six games remain in the regular season. What do you think he tells the ball club at this point?
Well, you can't, you know, it's just one game, right? You can't let this game dictate the rest of the outcome for the season. You can't let this game, you know, snowball and affect us for the rest of the season. As well as, too, you know, the score may look lopsided, but really, if Newark was really just a few plays away, I think, from really being in this football game, because if they don't give up those few big runs, you know, that may cut down, you know, 14, 21 points from Groveport. This could have been a one-possession game going down to the last few minutes of the fourth quarter. So I think it's just, you know, trying to limit the big plays going forward, that's a big thing. And then I think, too, it's just not hanging your heads. It's hard, right? Because it's Groveport. You now lost six straight, right? No one on this team knows how it feels to beat this ball club, unfortunately, right? But, you know, use this game, learn from it, get better from it, and say, you know, this is the type of competition, though, that we're going to start to be facing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this type of competition and better. So, you know, let those mistakes, learn from them, and, you know, let's try to finish the season out strong.
35-13, the final. We'll wrap it up after our final timeout. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Do you come home to find your trash thrown all over the ground, driveway, or yard? Or are you just tired of paying too much just to get rid of your trash? Call Shackelford's Disposal today, offering a weekly residential trash service at honest and fair pricing. Shackelford's also offers commercial and dumpster services for your weekend and construction projects. So call Shackelford's Disposal at 740-366-0001, where you get the real deal.
This is Chris from KSEP's Auto Body. Unfortunately, if you are involved in an accident and you make an insurance claim, you may say, hey, I want to go to KSEP's. The bill payer may have some opinions about us. They may tell you some things that aren't necessarily true. Ultimately, we have one boss. We want to serve you as the customer, and we want to do that in the best way we can. Come meet us. Get your own opinions about us. I think that you're going to trust us, and you'll be glad you did. KSEP's Auto Body in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-seps.com.
KSEP's, quality you can trust.
Now, back to high school football, brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on K98.7.
Monday night, Licking County Locker Room, live from Ship Brothers Brewing. We'll be highlighting Watkins Memorial and Warriors Soccer. So hopefully you can join us in person or listen right here, starting at 6:30 on K98.7. And then Friday night, battle, little LCL cross matchup between the Mount Vernon Yellow Jackets and the Heath Bulldogs from Swain Field, pregame at 6:45 and live kickoff at 7 o'clock. Well, we had some folks calling in to save us tonight, so thanks to Kelsey for getting us going, and CJ coming in from the bullpen to finish it up. Thank you both for appreciating taking care of us and doing a great job back at the studio. For Garrett Wandle, this is Brian Mays. Again, your final score from Whitefield, it's Groveport 35, Newark 13. Have a great rest of your Friday and weekend, everybody. You've been listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
This has been High School Football on Kate 98.7. Tonight's game was brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating, Lucky Memorial Health Systems, KSEP's Auto Body and Service Center, Trillium Farms, Mike's Roofing, and Wind Waste Innovations.